Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
You're busy today.
Yeah, this is quite a morning.
This makes up for the mornings where you do nothing. You do absolutely nothing.
You have to wake me up to start the news. Now, do you have any idea who is sponsoring this traffic report?
Let's see. Who could it be?
Do you get the first guess?
You take the first guess.
You go ahead, Andy.
Andy, you take the first guess.
Can I go out on a limb and say Spot Hero?
You win. You win. Right. Oh, wow. That you should go on Jeopardy, man.
Have I mentioned that Spot Hero is now the official app of the Sunday morning show?
It is the parking app, the official one.
Now that we're no longer at that other dump where we had free, parking, now we got to pay for parking. I love Spot Hero now. I got a $3 discount on my Spot Hero this morning.
See, there you have it. Yeah. Now, I still need to learn how to do this.
You got to get a phone.
I have a phone.
It doesn't flip to open.
I don't think Spot Hero works on a brick phone.
I have a phone. These new touch-tone phones work beautifully. It lights up at night and everything.
Right. Ronnie just got a princess phone he carries around with him.
Got to do something about the cord, though. It's kind of hard to find
a long extension from your house all the way to here.
It's the football phone for a free subscription to Sports Illustrated.
Oh, remember that?
Yeah.
Sponsored by Spot Hero. Finally, I can read this commercial. Finally, and here's a way
like Spot
you can
Hero
save
should be paying
time
a premium.
Parking.
They should be paying a premium price for we give them
the
like
attention that they get,
the extra love.
Absolutely. Use Spot Hero anytime you park.
I do.
First-time users can enter the promo code SMART for $10 off.
Oh, $10 off?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. I only got $3 off.
No, I can get this because I haven't done it
yet. Oh, you know
what?
I'm not a first-time user.
You're not a first-time user anymore.
You're a veteran now.
But you're still a Spot Hero user. That means you park smarter.
Right.
And for
it's nice that they got a 2-minute commercial in the news like that.
Yeah, for 20 seconds, and now they get 2 minutes. For personalized traffic on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app, approved by the mortgage experts of Team Hochberg. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. The forecast, mostly sunny today, high around 90, cooler near the lake, clear tonight, low in the upper 60s. For tomorrow, sunny once again, a little warmer, a little more humid, and a high in the low 90s. Maybe some scattered thunderstorms late in the day tomorrow. And into the evening hours. We're up to 74 now at O'Hare and Midway, 75 at the lakefront. And we will continue to follow the story coming out of Thailand, repeating our top story. 4 boys have been rescued. No word on their condition yet. 4 of the 12 that have been trapped there for nearly 2 weeks.
I have more questions about that for you.
Okay.
Not right now, though.
All right. I am Dave Schwann in the WGN newsroom.
I know.
And I'm ready to join this conversation.
I know you are.
Andy, you got to help me out here. Whenever a story changes on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Hang on 1 second here.
I say.
I'm operating at a visual disadvantage.
Dun, dun, dun,
I will explain.
Da-dum.
Okay. Like I need more excuses for not finding the proper button.
I have questions for you.
What's that?
Where are your glasses?
That's my visual disadvantage today. My prescription changed, and they're making new glasses for me.
Uh-huh.
Hopefully as we speak. So I'm wearing contact lenses right now.
Oh, you're wearing contacts.
Yeah. Right. Contact lenses. Which is nice, but I haven't worn contact lenses.
I haven't worn them in 35 years.
Well, almost the same for me. As longtime listeners will remember that I had LASIK surgery about 15 years ago. And the whole thing kind of played out on Spike Odell's show with my LASIK surgery, which I loved and I recommend it to everybody. But it's been about 15 years, and I guess it's worn off. As my doctor explained to me in a very polite way, sometimes when we get older, our vision changes.
You know, I've heard that line, too.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes, Grandpa, too. This is what I was hearing. Grandpa, your vision changed.
And then you said, what? Speak up!
Can't hear you!
So my other glasses that I had were a little fuzzy. So I said, well, no, let me go back to the contact lenses so I can see clearly. I could see clearly now.
All right. I wasn't going to go there.
I can see clearly for distance, but my reading, you know, is that's another thing that the doctor tells you.
Poorly. So you, are you farsighted then?
You know, as you get older, your reading vision is going to change. Now I have to put on, see, I have these other reading glasses.
Ah.
And I guess I can see clearly.
Somewhat clearly.
I was thinking, you know, if I have to read a piece of paper or something up close, I could put these on, but they don't really help very much. So this could be a really interesting show.
That's like the Three Stooges routine where Moe tells Curly to keep his glasses on so he can see the sign over there. He says, I can't read the sign. He says, take your glasses off. Look at the sign over there. What sign? Yeah, put them back on.
What sign?
Shawnee.
You want me to go home now?
I'm hoping we can bring Shawnee like maybe into the 1950s today. Right now he's about 1938 with the Stooges.
Now that episode
reference.
Was 39.
39, okay. So that's the deal with my glasses. And here's the other thing, Shawnee. I am really operating injured today. When have you tried to open the doors of these new studios here?
Yeah, they're rather
heavy.
Oh,
they pull hard.
The doors are
they're
ridiculously
hard. They're heavy.
And I had all my junk in one hand, all my spontaneous ad libs in one hand, and a cup of coffee in the other hand. And I thought the door was going to open easier than it did.
You were the first one to spill. On the new carpet.
I doubt very seriously that I'm the first one to do it, but I am definitely not.
I haven't yet.
One of them, but I can tell you most of the coffee went on my shirt anyway.
Oh, okay.
I may have third-degree burns. I may have third-degree burns. I may have to go to the hospital.
Andy and I will cover for you.
We got you.
For the hospital.
Tom's here.
And I won't even be able to see where I'm going without my... In other words, I'm a mess today, so...
I can hold all the copy over here for you if you want to read it.
Thank you.
That's about what I need, too, sometimes.
See, there's a friend for you.
Yeah, I got
you. Here's Shawnee trying to help me out a little bit. Andy's a block away, but he's willing to help me. That might be helpful.
And in the sports booth, too.
Mm-hmm.
Boot.
The air conditioning kicked in, so I'm good now.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Very nice. All right. So we're all set. All right. Now, so seriously, four of the young boys in Thailand that have been trapped in that cave have now been rescued. They're on the surface, right?
Yes, not only on the surface, but they have all been taken to the hospital. Respective hospitals.
Great.
One apparently transported by helicopter. The other three...
A little more serious than others.
Yes, yeah. By ambulances. You have to figure, you know, trapped for 2 weeks, what do you have? No food, no water. You're going to be dehydrated. You're going to be starving. You're going to be weak.
Terrified and shocked.
And terrified.
Right.
Saw a story yesterday where yesterday or the day before they were able to write letters to their parents saying, we're all right and we will see you soon. We're going to come out of this okay.
Yeah, I've seen some coverage of the parents who seem, one gentleman in particular seemed remarkably calm. I would be like when you see in those movies where the parents are at the mouth of the cave, that would be me.
Yeah.
I would have been holding a vigil there ever since this whole thing started. I would have been terrified.
Or the wives and families of coal miners.
Yeah,
you know.
Exactly. They camped out in front of the mouth of the cave waiting for updates.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I also heard that Thai officials cleared the area, didn't they? Also this morning that they made the media leave and they made everybody leave so nothing would hamper the rescue.
Well, they moved people away to get them out because of the the way in which they have to do this, and they want to make sure that when they get the respective people out, that they're able to get them out quickly and get them to medical care as soon as possible.
And they went back in the cave through the route in which the young boys got trapped in there in the first place. They did not wind up boring a new hole.
That was one of the options, but they haven't, they didn't really end up doing that. If they've done any boring, it is to drain some of that water out of there in order to, you know, lower the water levels.
Right, because they were expecting
huge problems.
Expecting even more, yeah.
Yeah, I also saw reports where they're 2,000 to 4,000 feet below the surface, so that in itself is a huge challenge.
Yeah. So we're going to take updates. ABC News has reporters on scene and are providing updates at the top of every hour and at the bottom of every hour. If something should happen in between those two times, they'll break in, we'll break in, and bring that to you. But, Chwani, our next, so we can expect you know, until further notice, I guess, that we're going to be taking updates fairly often to keep everybody updated.
Yes, for our 9:30 report, we'll have an update, yes.
Okay, very good. Mm-hmm. And while you were talking, I just thought about the similarity. You know, you were talking about, well, the similarity between the process of which, you know, of trying to get these kids out of there and this show. I don't know if you even realized it. Both boring.
I was going to draw comparisons between us and the Three Stooges.
Probably more apt.
Who wants to be Mo? Who wants to be Larry?
Probably more apt.
You have the option of being Curly or Shemp.
Me?
No one wants to be Joe.
Yeah.
Curly Joe Dorita. Nobody wants to be Joe Dorita.
No, well, Joe Besser.
Joe Besser.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks for another reference to that. what's going on at Ravinia for the month of July? We're going to be checking in with our pal, Wells Kaufman, who's the president and CEO of Ravinia from time to time. Give us a little overview of things that are coming to this wonderful outdoor Highland Park venue. We're going to do that when we come back next. WGN on the WGN Morning News.
Time is a healer.
All the news, sports, weather, traffic that you need. Latest updates on the Highland Cave Rescue. All on Chicago's number one TV morning show, the WGN TV Morning News. You're listening to a little bit of Mary J. Blige, one of the artists that we're going to be enjoying during the month of July at Ravinia Festival in Highland Park. There is so much going on for the month of July. Thought from time to time that we would be checking in with our pal Wells Kaufman, who's the president and CEO of Ravinia, to get a little bit of an update. Wells, good morning, my friend. How are you?
Dean, I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing very, very well. Nice to talk to you.
You too.
How have things been going so far at the old Ravinia this year?
Well, other than some rather odd weather, but you know, there's no climate change, so it can't be that. It's been pretty great. We've had some extraordinary performances, full houses for Bryan Adams and Anita Baker and Diana Ross and Jill Scott and the Roots. Jill being a debut artist for us. Anita on her 10th farewell tour.
Everybody that I know has been talking about that Anita Baker show that went on.
It was really outrageously good. I've been a big fan for a long time, probably the 10th time I've heard her live. And I have to say, this was just way over the top, as was Diana Ross, as were a lot of the chamber music concerts that we've had. We had this incredible group called Well Strung that really wowed people. We've had the Juilliard String Quartet. We've had some piano recitals, Vladimir Feltzman. And, of course, this week we welcome back in their 85th residency, the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. So we're very excited about that.
Yeah, talk to me a little bit about that. We'll get to some of the pop performances that are going to take place during the month of July. But for how many years, Wells, has CSO been performing at Ravinia? Because, I mean, it's an incredible opportunity to see this literally world-class orchestra perform.
Yeah, absolutely. And, Dean, I was just at Tanglewood in the Berkshires for a couple of days doing some work, and, of course, that's the summer home of the Boston Symphony Orchestra. And from a pure price point of view, nothing against my Boston Symphony brethren, but the bargain that hearing this best of all orchestras, the Chicago Symphony at Ravinia, is just huge. We lowered so many of our prices about 5 years ago, especially in the pavilion, so you can hear them and see them for $25, which is basically what they're charging for Grant Park downtown now, you know. So we're trying to make it as accessible, as easy, as welcoming as possible. We've made the lawn more friendly. The shushers are gone. The people that used to scare small children and things like that. so we're trying to make all of that user-friendly, and, of course, the programming as well.
I know you have a special Leonard Bernstein night.
Yeah.
As well.
Well, the whole world is celebrating Lenny's 100th birthday, especially, I should say, at Tanglewood, where he was in the very first class of the Tanglewood Music Center, then called the Berkshire Music Center, which started in 1940. Our Ravinia Staines Music Institute just started 30 years ago, so we're a relative newbie, but a lot of what we're doing this summer has to be around the celebration of the Staines Institute, our jazz program, which is already completed, our piano and strings program, which is underway, and our vocal program coming up. And Lenny is woven through all of that, as he is in a very big way with our first ever curator with the Chicago Symphony, Marin Alsop. Not only a fantastic conductor and someone who's had great experiences at Ravinia, she was Mr. Bernstein's last student and only female student. And so she's putting six really incredible programs together that both celebrate his own music, but also the music that he loved. Aaron Copland's music, Shostakovich's yeah. music, Stravinsky's music, Ravel's music. A way to get, you know, as full a picture beyond the composition side. Bernstein, you know, there is no more influential American musician.
Very true.
Classical music and yeah. Broadway, great pianist, great conductor, social yeah. activist, and teacher, of course.
Wells, I don't mean to cut you short here, but we have to get an update from ABC in a couple of minutes on the cave rescue that's going on. Real quick,
yes.
go down the list of pop performers who are going to be at Ravinia for the month of July.
So, Evanescence and Lindsey Stirling, both debuts for us on Tuesday night. Alan Cummings coming back to us. Great show in the Martin Theater a couple years ago in the Pavilion this coming Friday. Otter McDonald is headlining our gala, Let's with the Chicago Symphony. Extraordinarily wonderful show on Sunday. You mentioned the super extraordinary Mary J. Blige, I'm still kicking myself and pinching myself that we even have her coming.
It's
going
to be amazing. Yeah.
Exciting moment.
That's
going to
be amazing.
What about
this 80s night that's coming up?
Yeah. Flock of Seagulls, Wang Chung, I mean, all the groups that I listened to in college are coming back, and we all look great. All of us. We're doing great shape.
Yeah, I was going to say I listened to them as a young boy in grade school, but I guess nobody would buy that.
I did.
You went for the more realistic in college. They're very, very good.
It's going to be a great show, and I do have to mention, you know, one of the hottest conductors in the world, probably the only one that is resembling the brilliance of Leonard Bernstein, Gustavo Dudamel, makes his Ravinia debut a week from Wednesday, the 18th of July, with Yuzhou Wang, one of the hottest pianists in the world, and an alum of our Staines program, so I hope people look out for that, too.
And tickets are still available for some of these?
Absolutely, Ravinia.org. Lots of good seats available for almost all shows. We've got some shows in August, which are starting to close down in terms of sellout. But, that Mary J. Blige show, that's the one that people are really, really talking about, along with 50 Cent coming in August and Jason Mraz and Sugarland.
Yeah, and we'll check in, periodically, at least once a month to bring everybody up to date on what's still available.
Exactly.
What are some of the highlights? What are some of the things that you are most looking forward to? For the month as well. Ravinia.org is where you go for that. And this is our pal, Wells Kaufman, who's the president and CEO of Ravinia. Wells, have a great day today. Thank you so much.
Dean, thanks so much. Everybody look at the website. Look at July 28th especially. Do you take care. Have a great Sunday.
All right, buddy. Thank you so much. We're going to get a quick update on what is going on with the cave rescue in Thailand after this. Somebody texting in, I'm going to Ravinia for the first time this week. Any tips I should know? Just enjoy. I mean, you know, you can bring your own, food and beverage, blanket for the lawn. You're going to have a magnificent time. Ravinia is a great place. It's 9:30. Let's get into our WGN newsroom. Dave Schwann standing by, and we're getting an update from ABC on the status of the rescue of the boys in the cave.
Yes, let's join them right now, Dean.
This is live coverage from ABC News. Thailand rescue, race against time. Here is correspondent Aaron Katursky.
After a daring and dangerous rescue,
four boys from a Thai youth soccer team are now out of the flooded, oxygen-starved cave where they've been trapped for 2 weeks. They're believed to be the four weakest of the lot, perhaps in the weakest condition, perhaps the weakest swimmers. The operation to rescue them began a number of hours ago and appeared to move much faster than anticipated after divers used underwater jackhammers to remove the sharpest edges and lowest ceilings in the cave. The first four rescued are said to be in okay shape, thank goodness. Eight teammates and the coach are still in the cave, and Thai officials said the operation to rescue them would begin in another 10 to 20 hours, but it has been an incredible first attempt by Thai and foreign divers to rescue the first four. ABC's Matt Gutman is on scene in Chiang Rai. Matt, what's the latest?
There are ambulances that have come through, troop carriers. They are emptying this camp as we speak. These are volunteers who've worked as cooks for 16 days now. It's been a pretty incredible scene to watch. And you see people, when the rescue workers came out earlier, there was jubilee, and there was a whole line of soldiers here. Some of them saluted them. You can hear the chatter inside that van right now. So this is all very good news. This has gone incredibly quickly, 4 to 5 times faster than anticipated. By this time, actually an hour from now, they were only hoping to get the first boy out. Now they have four. And while you never want to see anybody in an ambulance, the whole country heaved this sigh of relief when that first ambulance passed right by here. And obviously everybody is leaving right now. Those boys are healthy, in good shape, and now there is incredible optimism about the next phase, which is likely to begin tomorrow morning. The big hitch, more rain. If it monsoons again, it could pose problems. That is, they try to restock the cave with oxygen and obviously some fresh divers and fresh rescue workers.
That's ABC's Matt Gutman at the scene in Thailand.
How about that?
It's amazing.
Going in with jackhammers.
Yeah, just utterly amazing.
These narrow passageways, going in with jackhammers to try to make more room to get these boys out of there.
Well, some of those passageways were so narrow that, you know, a rather average-sized person was not able to get in there, let alone with some scuba gear. So they would not be able to make it through.
Amazing how they got in, but also it's absolutely remarkable to me the ingenuity and the bravery of these divers that are going in with heavy machinery,
right?
Open a passageway to, and do it quickly. Obviously, you know, there's the clock is ticking with this.
Yeah, and keep in mind,
it's amazing. And my heart breaks for the Navy SEAL that went in. Well, yeah. the parents, but the Navy SEAL who went in to try to help, and then on his way out, he perished.
And
whose body is, I guess, being returned now to the U.S.
Returned, right? But he was there on a volunteer capacity. Yeah. He went on his own.
Yeah. Guys that do stuff like that, I'm not surprised to find out that it's a volunteer. There is a special, I don't know, it's a special
a calling.
Kind of...
It's a calling.
Yeah, kind of quality of person that puts their own life in that much jeopardy to try to save others. I have nothing but admiration for those guys.
Well,
and women. There's probably women.
Oh, yeah.
Too.
Yeah. To recap, though, four are out. They're suspending the rescue operations now as they prepare for another group. That's going to take another several hours, up to 10 hours. And there's a rain on the way again. So, you know, they're still up against the clock and all sorts of obstacles. But the fact that they've rescued the first four is really remarkable.
We're going to be all over the story all morning long. News is sponsored by American Weather Makers. Anything else going on?
WGN Sports, Andy Mazur.
Home runs by Yuli Gurriel and Alex Bregman led the Astros to a win over the White Sox yesterday, 12-6, the final. Sox have now lost four straight, while Houston has won five in a row. Avi Garcia homering for the eighth time in his last 12 games in a losing effort. Series will wrap up today. I'll have your pregame at 12:35. Ed and DJ, the first pitch at 1:10 here on WGN. A heavy comeback for the Cubs yesterday in their 8-7 win over the Reds at Wrigley Field. Baez homered, had four hits, including a game-tying infield single in the eighth. Anthony Rizzo's RBI groundout capped the rally in the four-run eighth inning. And the Cubs have come from behind in each of their last eight victories. Series finale coming up this afternoon. John Lester will be on the mound.
End of that game was amazing yesterday.
Crazy.
That's all that I saw was the end of the game. I tune in, and they're losing. And then suddenly they win the game.
And it was very unconventional, not with the long ball. Javi Baez with an infield single that went right off the pitcher. And then an RBI ground out ended up winning the game.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Crazy times at Wrigley Field.
Crazy times.
Yes. A reported three-team deal in the NBA involving the Bulls, the Hornets, and the Magic. The Bulls would send Jerian Grant to the Magic and receive guard Julian Stone from the Hornets. So the move would save the Bulls around $2 million. On the home of the Blackhawks, Northwestern Wildcats, and Chicago White Sox baseball, Andy Mazur, WGN Sports.
WGN traffic, expressways, and tollways moving well this morning. Backups, however, on the inbound Bishop Ford, and this is due to the fact that the feeder ramps going into and out of the Bishop Ford and I-57 remain closed as the investigation continues into the emergency landing by the helicopter in that area at 9 o'clock last night. So the
feeder ramps are closed, but the expressways
are open, right. They're keeping the expressways open, but the feeder ramps, which are adjacent to that grassy area there, that was a grassy median where the helicopter went down,
yeah.
The feeder ramps are closed. But
so traffic, like if you're coming from the Dan Ryan to get on that.
Yeah, it's going to be slow.
That's still open, but
yeah.
Slow.
Yeah, it's going to be slow.
Don't expect to get on
57 from the Bishop Ford.
Yeah.
From the Bishop Ford. And as you know, if you're going north on the Bishop Ford, is right before you get to the Ryan, you have that exit that takes you on to the beginning of 57.
Yeah.
So those ramps there are...
Those are the ones that are
closed. Will be closed for a little while yet. They're going to be out there for some time investigating, exactly what happened with that helicopter. So, again, feeder ramps into and out of I-57 and the Bishop Ford are affected by this. Other than that, as we say, things are moving well on our expressways and tollways.
It's a busy weekend for you, Schwani.
Well, you know,
I would go in and demand a big fat raise tomorrow.
I think I should go in and pound my fist on
the
desk.
Yes.
Well, you know what else, Dean? I'll tell you what, we have another item to report.
Hmm.
And that is Des Plaines Avenue between Roosevelt and Harrison is closed for the Maxwell Street Market.
The Maxwell Street Market is up and running. And what a beautiful day to be out there at the Maxwell Street Market today.
It's a perfect day. Also, West
Can I tell you how much I want to do the show at Maxwell Street?
Well,
at the
we've Maxwell been talking Street about Market. This for years.
I know we say it about everything. But most of the time I'm talking through my hat, as the expression goes. But I really want to...
Talk through your hat?
I really want to do the show. Wouldn't that be fun to be out there on Maxwell Street? Or Maxwell Street Market, and you know, we're out there talking to people who are out, you know, buying gym socks, and the blues bands are playing.
What about the food?
And the food,
God, you just walk through there, and the aroma of the food being cooked.
Wouldn't that be
amazing?
Fun?
Can I admit something that I've never been?
Never been?
Never been.
Oh, even better now.
So yeah, I think it's even a better idea, and I am in need of tube socks.
Are you? Okay.
That's the place.
Well, I was going to buy some.
They have those
for
nice ones that Andy likes too, that go all
with
the way up to your knees.
Yeah. Different colored stripes.
Yeah. Andy likes to wear the ones that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar wore in the 1970s.
All the way up to your knees.
And the gym shorts. Andy likes the long
shorts
tube
that go
socks
all the way up to your
and
kneecap.
The super short gym shorts.
Exactly. It's a good look, you
He's
know?
Very 70s retro.
Very few can pull it off.
Andy is very retro that way.
Yeah, the color of the tube socks, I dress by mood, you know? It's like mood socks.
It's like a mood ring.
Exactly.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of this has been sponsored by Firestone Complete Auto Care.
Mm.
Head into Firestone Complete Auto Care to get $60 off per axle on a standard brake service. Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone.
That's why we're known as Steel Belted Radio.
Steel Belted Radials. Coupon is required. Restrictions and exclusions apply. Details at driveafirestone.com. And for
traffic... How you say you said coupon?
Coupons and exclusions. Yes, a coupon is required. Restrictions.
No, I'm just saying the way that you said the word coupon, which is how I say it too. Coupon.
Coupon. Some people say coupon.
Coupon. Right.
Coupon.
You say coupon. I say coupon.
Welcome to our new feature, Linguistics World.
Let's call the whole thing off.
Tom, will you look that up and see which is, are they both accepted? Or because I think coupon is correct. Derivative of the French OU, which is OU, as in the coupon.
Coupon.
coupon. I'd like the gray coupon.
Would you?
But of course.
You have a gray
coupon.
Of course.
We'll go to producer Tom Hush now for the definitive word. He's looking it up.
I think he's going to come back and say coupon. Either.
Oh, say, do it again.
Coupon.
Okay. Tom's voice running a little high today. Tom, I think Thank Tom you. May have bought some of those 70s gym shorts.
They're riding a little high.
Enjoy your breakfast, everyone.
For personalized traffic on demand and lessons on how to pronounce coupon, get the Traffic Chicago app. It's approved by the mortgage experts of Team Hochberg. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. And the forecast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center. Sunny today, high around 90, a little cooler near the lake. For tonight, clear skies, lows in the upper 60s. And for tomorrow, a little warmer, low 90s, and a little more humid, but ample sunshine.
Ample.
And we have 74 at Midway and O'Hare, 75 at the lake, and we do have a far-flung forecast today.
Mm.
We go to Johnstown, Pennsylvania. Johnstown, Pennsylvania.
It'd be nice if we had some fife and drum music for this today.
That would be, yeah, it's out there, you know, site. It was settled in 1770.
You should let us know ahead of time what kind of music we need for this one.
I can
have an on-air production meeting right now. Can we start having meetings about the show? Nah.
No.
That would just ruin it.
That would not be any fun. But Johnstown goes back to 1770. Mm-hmm. It has had three floods during its time, 1889, 1936, and 1977. And they even have a museum.
Museum of Flooding?
A Museum of Flooding. It's the Johnstown Flood Museum.
Wait a minute. They have a flood museum?
Yes, they do. I'm looking at a picture of it. It's a beautiful old building, which was a Carnegie Library building, which probably goes back to the 1890s, 1900. But it is now the Johnstown Flood Museum.
Wow.
But we also bring up Johnstown.
The interesting
today.
Thing is, when you go into this museum, the water is like waist high when you walk in.
They give you waders.
Give you waders or a raft.
A raft to go through the museum.
Would you like waders or a raft, sir?
But we mentioned Johnstown not only for the flooding, but we also mention it because, and I saw you report this, Dean, Johnstown, Pennsylvania is the birthplace of the man who gave us Spider-Man, Steve Ditko, born November 2nd, 1927, in Johnstown, Pennsylvania.
Just passed away,
yeah. They found
this guy is the unsung hero of the Marvel comic universe. He maybe is the, in my opinion, because I'm old school Marvel, I think the greatest comic illustrator of all time.
Some people said that.
Yeah, you know? Well, I just did.
I said some people said that.
I just said it.
Okay. But some other people have said it.
Oh, some other people also said it. I see. He created Spider-Man with Stan Lee and Doctor Strange. You know, made, like two of the greatest Marvel superheroes of all time. And was reclusive.
I was just going to say, apparently was a recluse.
Yep. Didn't like to be interviewed. Didn't want any of the attention. He just wanted to go into his studio and draw, I think is ultra, ultra cool.
Evidently, they found him unresponsive in his apartment. He probably hadn't been heard from. And end of June, actually. And this is just now being reported.
Spider-Man does whatever a spider can. Spins a web any size. Catches thieves just like flies. Look out. Here comes the Spider-Man.
Everybody singing along.
Is he strong? Listen, bud. He's got radioactive blood. Can he swing from a thread? Take a look overhead. Hey there!
There goes the Spider-Man.
What a super cool man. Imagine how trippy these guys were. What was that, 1962? 61, 62 that Spider-Man was created.
And then the cartoons. Not long after that. I mean, the animated cartoons.
Which is how trippy these guys must have been. It's the middle of Camelot. It's the Kennedy area where everything is all buttoned down and traditional. And these guys are, hey, let's make him have radioactive blood. Yeah, man. Far out.
Is he cool? Listen, bud.
Yeah.
He's got radioactive blood. spins a web any size.
Far out, man.
Ooh, baby.
Yeah, but anyway, Dick Sitko, right? S-I-T-K.
Steve Ditko.
Wow, Ditko. I wasn't anywhere close. Wow. It was like, it was as if I said it in Pig Latin. Maybe I should get my notes in front of me. Doesn't matter. I can't really see them today anyway.
Let me have that. I'll hold it over here.
Thank you.
Steve Ditko.
Steve Ditko.
D-I-T-K-O.
Steve, yeah. Anyway, passed away. And if you love Marvel Comics, if you love that whole universe, which now is, you know, it's like the biggest movie franchise maybe of all time. Thank guys like Steve Ditko and Stan Lee for stuff like that.
Yeah, as you say, unsung heroes as a result of that.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Well, we will continue to follow all of this and have an update at 10 o'clock on the cave rescue in Thailand. I'm Dave Schwann in the WGN newsroom, and this is The Stuff That Matters on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
All right, so we were talking with Wells Kaufman, the president and CEO of Ravinia, a few minutes ago. A listener texted in, I'm going to Ravinia for the first time, which is great if you've never been. How cool that you're going for the first time, because it is such a treasure here in the Chicago area, this wonderful outdoor venue. But I wanted to just open up our phone lines for a minute and say, what advice would you give to our listener who is going to Ravinia for the first time? You know, I love sitting on the lawn, just getting a blanket or, you know, folding chair, whatever, lawn chair, and sitting on the lawn and enjoying the music. Putting out a spread. You know, sometimes I'll stop at Crate and Barrel and buy one of everything, like some people do when they go to Ravinia. But what advice do you give our listener? First-timer at Ravinia, 312-981-7200. And don't we have, Tom, don't we have some tickets for Ravinia, something special to give away this morning?
Yes, we do have some four-pack of tickets to go to Ravinia to see the Symphony Orchestra, I believe.
Okay, we have two packs of four lawn tickets,
yeah, two packs of four.
Of this special night. We're going to reward you with a little Ravinia night of your own. 312-981-7200. Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. Closely following the story of the rescue of the young boys in the cave in Thailand, reportedly four young men of these young boys have already been brought to the surface. We'll get another update from ABC coming up in just a couple of minutes. Before that, though, the topic this morning from a listener on our text line going to Ravinia for the first time, what would you suggest? And let's go to Diane in Arlington Heights. Hi, you're on WGN. Let me bring up Diane. Here we go. Now, Diane, we can hear you. Good morning.
Yeah, my advice would be arrive early, enjoy the atmosphere, you know, people watch. But the key is to arrive early so that you could take it all in.
Yeah, a couple of other people also have said arrive early because, you know, the parking lot fills up early, and they do have remote parking lots and shuttles, but you can walk if you want to. It's a little bit of a walk, that's key for someone.
Well, yeah, the walking part is no problem either if you like to take a bit of a hike, but just enjoy it.
The other thing that I would suggest, and I've only just started doing this the last couple of years. I don't know why it's taken me so long to do this, to take the Metra to Ravinia. It drops you off right at the front gate.
Right.
And, you pick up the Metra wherever, make the connections. It's an easy drive. You don't have to worry about driving or parking, or if you have a couple of glasses of wine while you're at Ravinia, you don't have to worry, about anything. You hop on the train. You get there, you're right at the gate, you hop on the train, and you're right back home again.
That's a great idea, but then again, depending on time, so
true.
You have to check that.
Very true. All right, so this is what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to send you a Ravinia Picnic on the Lawn, a four-pack of lawn tickets.
Oh, my God, it's great.
Yeah, to see the Chicago Symphony Orchestra's performance of Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, which is amazing.
Yay.
That's going to be Saturday, July the 14th. So we're going to take care of that for you. If you'll hold on for just 1 second here, and Tom will give you all the details. And in the meantime, let's talk to Bob in Schaumburg. Hi, you're on WGN.
Hi, Dean. Love your show. Well, whenever I go to Ravinia, usually we bring a couple comfortable lawn chairs, a bottle or two of wine, and also a nice salad and some dessert.
Oh, very nice.
And we also believe in getting there early is the key, so you get a good spot on the lawn.
That's the other point, is if you get there too late.
Beautiful day.
Yeah, you want to get a nice spot on the lawn, if you have pavilion seats, but I'm going to be honest with you. Mostly I enjoy sitting on the lawn with friends. We bring the lawn chairs. We bring a little picnic basket or nowadays, people have some of these little carts that you can bring that's got, you make a little picnic spread and you bring it out there and some wine and just have a wonderful, wonderful time at Ravinia. What's the best show that you ever saw at Ravinia?
I saw Robert Plant there one time.
Wow.
And I'm going to see the B-52s Culture Club and
nice.
Somebody else later this year.
Yeah, that 80s show that they're putting on, that's going to be fun.
Yeah, I love B-52s when they're harmonizing. They sound great.
They sound amazing. I've seen the CSO there, and it gives you chills. It's amazing. It's so great. In the last couple of years, who have I seen there? I saw Tony Bennett and Lady Gaga there, which was amazing. I saw Earth, Wind, and Fire. That was one of the most fun nights. They give a great lineup, and it's always a lot of fun. And I'm going to get you a pack of four lawn tickets also for the...
Thank you so much, Dean.
CSO and Beethoven's Ninth that definitely rocks. Bob, hang on for a second, and Tom will get the information from you. It's 9:57, Dean Richards Sunday morning. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago. Let's get into our WGN newsroom, where we've been following the story of the rescue of the boys in the cave in Thailand. Dave Schwann has the latest for us with ABC, I believe, right?
Yes, that's right, Dean. We'll join ABC in just a second. We have sunny skies and 77 at O'Hare, and four boys have been pulled from this cave thus far in Thailand after having been trapped for 2 weeks. Let's join ABC Radio now with an update.
A group of boys rescued from a flooded cave in Thailand arrived at a hospital in Chiang Rai, and ABC's Adrian Bankard is there.
The four boys that we know are here are healthy, but they will run through a complete medical evaluation while here at the hospital, as well as be reunited with their families on that eighth floor. We also know that while they were still inside the cave in that staging area, they had a series of tests run on them, and they had a paramedic as well as nurses and doctors assigned to them to try to treat them while they were still at the cave site.
The extraction mission has been going a lot faster than expected. Instead of one boy out in 11 hours, the first one emerged at the 8-hour mark, and three more came soon after. ABC's Matt Gutman says eight boys and their coach are now awaiting their rescue.
There is incredible optimism about the next phase, which is likely to begin tomorrow morning. The big hitch, more rain.
Everyone is hoping that the monsoons hold off. Mona Rivera, ABC News.
And we will have more on this story as it continues. As they mentioned, the rescue efforts will resume tomorrow, meaning at 10 o'clock our time. And they are 12 hours ahead of us in Thailand, so it's 10 p.m. in where the rescue site is. So
I would imagine the rescue project, though, is continuing around the clock, though, right? Because
it is
they're expecting the monsoons.
Right. And not only that, but it is around the clock because they have to make preparations in order to get the remaining people trapped out. You know, it takes a lot of time to get to them. It also takes a lot of time for them to get out, but they have to prepare gear and, even rest. I would imagine that rest figures into this. You can't go in exhausted and try to get those people out when it takes several hours to get one person out.
Well, presumably they're going in scuba gear with plenty, with the oxygen tanks, right?
Yes.
For themselves, and then something similar for, you know, however many boys that they're bringing out. I guess one at a time, right?
One at a time, but the first one came out by him. Well, not by himself, but was taken out with rescuers. But then the other three came out soon after. Two of them presumably together, and then the fourth one that was taken to a hospital via helicopter. And as they indicated, this is taking place a lot quicker than expected. So there's some optimism that this could, you know, continue to move right along. But keep in mind also, Dean, these boys, they've never, maybe, you know, they have swum somewhere, but
never in full scuba gear.
Never in full scuba gear. Yeah. And it's pitch black in there.
Yeah. And who, I mean, presumably the first ones out were the ones who were at the biggest health risks, I would think, right? To get them out of there first?
Yeah, if they are able to make it, right.
Strongest boys and the coach, I presume, are going to be last.
Yeah, the coach probably will be, but they, you know what, they would have to consider the condition of the boys once they, you know, get to them. Are you well enough to go? Do you need a little extra rest? Do you need some food? Would you like more water? And mentally and emotionally, are you prepared to do this? Because this is going to be hard.
Yeah, so this is
it's a remarkable story.
The whole thing is just absolutely remarkable, and we'll certainly bring you the latest as it develops there throughout the morning. News is sponsored, by the way, by Mueller Volkswagen. Shawnee, what else do we have?
Well, we have another remarkable story. The emergency helicopter landing last night near I-57 and the Bishop Ford Expressway. Investigators from both the FAA and the NTSB remain at that scene. This copter was carrying a person in critical condition and three other people aboard when it landed in a grassy median. Chicago District Chief Walter Schroeder had nothing but praise for the way in which the pilot maintained his cool under duress.
He put it in between the two lanes of the expressway and just priored it at CTA station.
Three passengers are in stable condition. The person in critical remains so. Feeder ramps going to and from I-57 and the Bishop Ford remain closed as that investigation continues. Police are still looking for people involved in a shooting. More from WGN's Roger Battish.
An off-duty Calumet City police officer was treated for a gunshot wound Saturday after being shot during an exchange of gunfire while getting out of his vehicle. Officer said at least two people exchanged shots with him. They then drove off after the shooting. The investigation is continuing. Roger Battish, WGN News.
And a state backlog in determining Medicaid eligibility for nursing home residents is forcing a Central Illinois facility's closure. Pleasant Hill Village in Girard, Illinois, will close September 1st. It's paid over $2 million for care that could be Medicaid eligible. WGN Sports, here's Andy Mazur.
Well, Dave, the Javi Baez homered and had four hits in the Cubs' comeback win over the Reds yesterday, 8-7. Cubs came back from five runs down to get the win, the largest deficit they've overcome this season. No big deal, according to Javi. All right, that's not the correct audio. We'll get to the correct audio here in a little bit.
Wow, his accent's completely gone.
That was a tease of a story I have at the very end, so please stay tuned, because that's I'm not sure if you really caught the voice there, but it will be a big reveal coming up here shortly.
Wow. You are crafty.
I tell you what, I didn't even intend to do that, but it worked out in my favor. Today, John Lester will go against Luis Castillo in the series finale. Well, they still haven't beaten Houston. The White Sox are 0-6 against the Astros this season after a 12-6 loss yesterday. Sox have been outscored 54-15 by the defending champs. They'll try to salvage a game in the series this afternoon. I'm going to have your pregame at 12:35. Ed and DJ, first pitch at 1:10 here on WGN. Lucas Giolito will go to the mound for the White Sox. A reported three-team deal in the NBA involving the Bulls, the Hornets, and the Magic. Bulls send Jerian Grant to the Magic and receive guard Julian Stone from the Charlotte Hornets. The move will save the Bulls around $2 million in salary. All right, now to that big story.
I'm hoping we're going to hear Javi Baez during
this.
Well,
I know. It'd be fun. I could probably arrange that, but I'm not sure what happened here. Believe it or not, though, it was 8 years ago today that LeBron James made his first decision.
And this fall, man, it's very tough. And this fall, I'm going to take my talents to South Beach and join the Miami Heat. I feel like it's going to give me the best opportunity to win and to win for multiple years.
Yeah, he was talking all about 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 championships. Yeah, they won two with the Heat, that big three with Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade. And then, of course, he opted out to rejoin the Cavaliers, won a title with them, and then just last week bolted the Cavs again for a multi-year contract with the Los Angeles Lakers.
You blame him, though?
No, not at all. I mean,
I get that people want the loyalty. I mean, imagine if, you know, if Michael Jordan had, you know, left during the height of the bull season, how we all would have felt.
Absolutely.
At that time. But you can't blame, I don't blame him for, you know, trying to make the most of his career and also do whatever makes the most financial sense for him.
Yeah, and these days in the NBA, you need the big three to be able to contend and win. I mean, the Bulls did it with a kind of a big 2.5.
Right, right.
And, I mean, I think the extra half was made up by the greatest player to ever play the game, somebody named Michael Jeffrey Jordan. And I still love the comparisons because, you know, Jordan never lost in the finals and arguably had less talent around him than LeBron has ever had. Just my opinion on the whole thing right there.
Wait, that Michael Jordan had less talent around him than LeBron has?
I would, you know, you look at who won the two championships with the Heat. He had Chris Bosh. He had Dwayne Wade, both guys that were all-stars. I mean, you look at the Bulls, especially the first set, it was basically him and Scottie Pippen with, you know, a chip in there maybe from Horace Grant and from John Paxson. But then you look at the last three, it was Jordan, Pippen, and Ron Harper had some things to do with it. Dennis Rodman had his hand in it as well, but it wasn't as pronounced an all-star team. This was not like an NBA all-star team. This was Michael Jordan being Michael Jordan.
Yeah, I think that speaks to the incredible power of Michael Jordan.
I do too.
I agree with you still.
So.
About him being the greatest player of all time.
Yeah, everybody's got their opinion. It's all good. I mean, it's great discussion because there are valid points on both sides. But again, it's hard. It's hard to argue if you grew up in the town, this town during that time, to say anything other than that. So, anyhow, I hope it was worth the reveal there because it was a pretty big day today.
That was powerful. A lot of people craft a story, you know, and just present the facts.
Yeah, exactly.
But you really
get a way about me, don't I?
Yeah, no other sportscaster does quite the way.
I'm gonna get Javi out of the training room, and we're gonna hear from him at 10:30. He had so many important things to say. He just had to go.
Really was not enough room in this sports.
No, there really wasn't. I felt bad for him. I had to bump him. I asked him back at 10:30.
Okay.
On the home of the Blackhawks, Northwestern Wildcats, and Chicago White Sox baseball, Andy Mazur, WGN Sports.
A lot of people don't know, Schwani, that Javi Baez is out in the green room right now waiting to talk to Andy.
He's stewing, too, you know?
He was just happy to be away from his new baby.
He's sleeping on the couch in there, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's okay. Yes, the new couch.
Correct.
I told Tom, if I lay down on that couch, I am in trouble.
We have a new couch?
Right to sleep.
Oh, there's a new couch in the green room, yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
I'll go check it out. And I will be out like a light. WGN traffic, more information now on the ramps, the feeder ramps around I-57 and the Bishop Ford, as crews remain on the scene investigating that emergency landing. The ramp to the outbound I-57 remains closed, and also the ramp that is to the outbound Bishop Ford closed at this time because of that ongoing investigation. Travel times on the inbound Ryan, 25 minutes from the Bishop Ford to downtown now. From the Bishop Ford out to I-90 is a 10-minute trip. On the Eisenhower, Wolf Road to downtown, 21 minutes. And from Veterans Tollway, a little bit over a half hour. We have a couple of festivals going on, of course, Taste of Chicago, but also West Fest.
Preparation for Taste of Chicago.
Preparation for Taste. You've got closures already in place
there. I can't get a giant turkey leg. Don't go out there thinking you're going to get a giant turkey leg today.
But Taste of Chicago setting up. That's right.
When does that start?
When does it start, Andy?
Tom, when does that start?
I think it's the 11th, isn't it?
On the 11th?
I thought I remember hearing the 11th.
That'll be Wednesday, then.
Producer Tom is looking it up since all three of us are idiots.
But I do know that while you can get up and down Lakeshore Drive...
When is it, Tom?
It's the 11th to the 15th of July.
Sports for the win.
Is that Wednesday?
That starts on Wednesday and runs through next Sunday, yes. Okay. You can...
Giant turkey legs for everyone next week.
Well, let's do the show from there.
Okay.
The last day.
All right.
On our way to the market, yeah, we can do that. We can make two stops.
Yeah.
Closures are in place on Jackson and Monroe. Balbo is open, but Columbus Drive between Monroe and Balbo is closed. Also, a festival going on
for West Fest, Chicago Avenue between Damon and Wood Street, closed until 5 o'clock tomorrow morning. The CTA is rerouting number 66 buses.
My favorite one.
West Fest? They're all your favorite
ones. No, the number 66.
Oh, the number 66 bus. For personalized traffic on demand and...
I like West Fest, too. Nothing against West Fest.
West Fest is...
I like a nice outdoor festival.
Well, this is the time of year. We should have found out how hot it got for the Rib Fest. Remember a week ago when we were,
reporting
on Rib Fest?
Look, I love ribs. I love ribs. There is no way I would have gone out in that blistering heat from last week to eat hot ribs.
Corn on the cob.
No way. Right. Corn on the cob right off of the roaster.
I heard that they just left it on the sidewalk there and it roasted.
Yeah, when the paramedics come and take me away, make sure the corn on the cob's on my chest so I can eat it later.
For personalized traffic on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app. It's approved by the mortgage experts of Team Hochberg. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. And the WGN forecast, talking about a nice day, mostly sunny today. High near 90, a little cooler near the lake. Clear overnight, low in the 60s. Sunny once again tomorrow, a little warmer and a little more humid. High in the low 90s, maybe some scattered thunderstorms late in the day. It is 77 under sunny skies now at O'Hare. Midway 79, Chicago's lakefront has 80. I'm Dave Schwann in the WGN Newsroom, ready to join the conversation whenever a story changes on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Richard, Sunday morning today on our A-list interview, the star of Ant-Man and the Wasp, the two stars, Michael Douglas and Paul Rudd, a little bit later on today. I like the Ant-Man. Tom, have you seen it yet?
I've seen bits and pieces.
Bits and pieces?
Yes, bits and pieces from when I'm walking theaters at work.
Tom also works at a very fine cinema in the Chicago area. Are we allowed to say what that is? We can, right?
Yeah.
Davis? It's not the Davis.
The new 400 Theater in Rogers
Sheridan
Park.
Sheridan Road, right?
Yes, sir.
Sheridan Road. Lovely theater.
Over 100 years of cinematic excellence.
So he peeks at the movies whenever he can. I liked it. Some people, I think, are being like way, way, way overly critical of it. I thought it was big fun. I had a good time with it. Anyway, with Paul Rudd and Michael Douglas coming up later on. You may remember that I was talking last week about hosting the 4th of July fireworks at Navy Pier for WGN-TV. And those of you that were watching probably know what happened to me. It was... It was an interesting night.
How wet was it?
So we start the show at 9:30. So that's when the fireworks are supposed to start, 9:30. And they started maybe like a minute late. That's not a big deal. Those of you who listen to the show know I have no problem killing time talking. Murdering time really is more accurate. So we, you know, the fireworks start. We have a lovely fireworks display at Navy Pier. It took about 15 minutes. And then we had some other features of things that, things that are going on this summer in Chicago. Reporter Tom Negevin was inside Navy Pier. I was actually stationed at Lake Point Tower directly in front of Navy Pier. We had the best view ever of Navy Pier and the fireworks from Lake Point Towers this year outside. And it was great. So we check in and... Clearly, you know, it was like really hot and humid when we arrived there. And then as the minutes are ticking by, it is decisively becoming cooler. And you could feel storms were in the air. And we're checking in with Tom Skilling. We're checking in with Tom's producers. We're checking in with all the weather people. We're constantly watching radar. And they're saying, don't worry, it's going to miss you. It's going to go. It's going to be south of you. It's not even going to come close. And literally, with 1 minute left in the show, I'm on camera. Andy, you can relate to this because, mm-hmm. You know, I got to kill a minute now.
Yep.
you know, till the end of the show. And I feel, this is the curse of the bald man, I feel a raindrop.
Followed by?
A big raindrop. It's not just like a little dink. It's like bong on my head. It's like a big one. And it, the skies let loose. Torrential raining. And I, you know, I didn't have an umbrella, stupid me. I should have, but I didn't. And, you know, I've got a minute. I have to stand in this torrential rain for a minute to sign off the fireworks. I don't think I have ever been so drenched without being in my shower at home in my life.
And people don't understand that a minute in that kind of an atmosphere seems like 2 hours.
Right. Seems like 2 hours. Plus, I mean, it's pouring raining, number one. It's lightning and thundering everywhere.
Yep.
I am connected to and surrounded by electronic equipment. Then I'm thinking, well, if I get hit by lightning, it's going to be on live TV. At least everybody's going to see what happens. but it also was kind of fun at the same time. You know what I mean? It's like sometimes you just got to say, what the hell? I stretched my arms out and said, let it rain. Let the rain come. What can I do? Let it go. And I was just completely, every single piece of clothing that I was wearing on top, underneath, everywhere, drenched. I have never been so drenched in my life. And the way that they were supposed to get me out of there, you know, like a million people that were down at Navy Pier, nothing was moving because it was pouring, raining. It was unbelievable.
And it was really weird because I was watching from a rooftop well on the north side of the city, and we never felt a drop of rain, but we could see the lightning off in the distance as the fireworks were going off.
Right, yeah, that's what I was afraid of. I was going to find out about that lightning. And so who do I get a text from? You know, it's pouring, raining. Who do I get a text from? Elton Jim Toronto, who was concerned about, not about my health, not about am I okay, not about did you get hit by lightning. Elton Jim, are you there?
Hey, Dean, how you doing? Hi-ho. Are you dry yet?
I wouldn't go that far. You
that
sort of enjoyed.
I hope the broadcast communications museum already asked you for that shirt.
The shirt was unfazed.
It was so drenched, but I'm more concerned mostly about your sporty chapeau.
My fedora.
Your. It seemed like it was a. Was it kind of a bamboo or a tweed
like
fedora?
It was like a straw bamboo. Yes, tweed.
Yeah, because as you spoke, it began to crumble, and just disintegrate while you spoke, and I saw a panda right behind you almost grab it.
It didn't disintegrate. It was soaked. You know, there's nothing like bamboo or straw or whatever once it gets wet. And because it was a fedora, you know, the brim on it was turned upwards, so the rain was collecting in the brim like a gutter. It was like having a hat with a gutter on it.
It was so funny. Well, you should get that no clog brim.
I should have gotten right. And when I moved my head, the water that was in the brim poured down on my face.
Well, the best part was that, you know, when you started the show, your hat was like, you could see your eyes and your eyelid, you know, and your eyebrows. But as the rain continued, the hat started to slide.
Right. Right.
And by the end, all we saw was a brim and a nose.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Oh. You couldn't see my face at all because the hat, one, I had pulled it down to try to protect my eyes.
Well, I have a guy that does my gutters. If you want him to do your brim,
I may need to call Rain Guard or one of our fine sponsors.
Seriously, is the hat? I mean, I watched that, and all I could focus on was your hat.
You must have sent me.
Is it wearable? Will we see it again next year?
Jim sent me like 4 or 5 texts or emails about my hat. Not one about me. Was I okay?
Oh, but electric shock, electric schmock.
He was concerned about that hat, which, by the way, first of all, I have several fedoras, and I switch them out every year because you can't wear the same hat every year.
I predicted you would have when I told my wife. I said, I guarantee you Dean's going to have either his bamboo or his light blue fedora on. And when you came on, I was like, thank you.
Okay, so you're a genius. All right, so
I know your wardrobe.
I like to wear the fedora.
It's fantastic. That's your look.
That's my look. But to answer your question,
was the hat salvageable?
The hat is in perfect condition. Once it dried out, you would never know that it was in near hurricane like conditions.
Oh, yeah, because I thought you were going to put it out on your front curb, like when people's
flood your basement. No. Everything that I was wearing that was drenched was absolutely perfect after air drying out.
Well, you were worried about you just said earlier, the bald man's curse. I think next year you wear that same thing and say, screw you, curse. Okay. Black shirt and straw fedora. Get right back on the horse, Dean.
Okay. All right.
Oh, that was a classic piece of Chicago. I mean, I love your Bose and Gar and Ray show, but nothing compared to those 40 seconds
watching
that you
me.
Had to sit there.
Right. And you know what, I decided to wear the black shirt. I almost wore like a white, like Hawaiian, you know what I mean? Like a Hawaiian, I don't even know how to describe it, but like a, you know, kind of tropical white shirt. You know what that would have looked like soaking wet?
They would have had to have put a black, like, you know, when there's like nudity on television,
digitized.
They put the black square.
Right. Yep. It would have been
the black shirt one way or the other.
Dean Richards wet t-shirt contest going on. Had I made the other?
That could have been a nice sideline for you on the weekend.
doing wet t-shirt contest.
Yeah, Dean Richards.
Yeah,
recreates his summer blast appearance.
Well, listen. Thank you for having no concern whatsoever for me getting hit by lightning, but tons of concern for my hat.
I was lucky because the great part was, as every drop fell, the hat continued to just get worse. It was like melting right in front of our eyes. I didn't even know you were there. I just saw a talking hat.
As I say, I'm so happy that you care. You know who your friends are. Jim, I got to go because we have Mike Hamernick standing by to tell us, hopefully, that there's not going to be any rain in the forecast.
Well, why just ask your people? They seem to know.
And there we end our conversation with Jim Toronto. Are you filling in for anybody?
No, I just did a few 3 days, but now I guess I have to wait for the next call, so
okay.
We'll see.
Go back into hiatus again, I guess.
Call me in November.
I'll talk to you soon. We'll have you on soon. Mike, are you there? Mike Hamernick?
Hey, Dean. Yeah, I am.
How you doing there, my friend?
I'm all right.
Just talking about the 4th of July weather.
Wow.
And the storm that nearly killed me. But
fantastic
job
in the middle of that. I was watching from home, too, and I was mortified, to tell you the truth, knowing that storm was developing as quickly as it was, and all those people out there in the lightning. Oh,
see, I should have told you to come with me and had my own personal weatherman with me there to predict all of that.
And I got to be honest with you, that one cell that was sliding south of the city, but there was one that developed right over downtown Chicago, and that was perhaps the fastest developing cell I can remember seeing on radar. Now, I don't watch the radar as closely as I usually do, but it was equivalent of going from 0 to 60 in 1.8 seconds.
Okay, that would explain then. Why it fooled everybody.
From absolutely nothing at 9:45 to a complete torrential downpour at 9:50. So in a span of about 4.5 minutes, it went from, you know, 0 to 60 or 80, you know.
I'm here to tell you.
Yeah, and you were caught in the middle of it. And to see all that lightning develop, I was... I was, mortified to see all that going on down there in such a short period of time.
Mike, please tell me that it's going to be as nice as it was yesterday today.
It is. It is. A little bit warmer, but no increase in humidity today. So we're going to be about 7 or 8 degrees warmer. We're already pushing 80 degrees in some spots, going for a high of 87. A little bit cooler lakeside, but the cooling lake cooling is going to be very modest. 80 at the beaches today, and it'll only make it about a half a mile inland. Sunshine all day long, wall-to-wall sun, and nice weather overall for this upcoming week. It's going to warm up a little bit tomorrow, Dean, about 92, but minus the humidity again. I call this mountain air because we have the cool nights, the warm days, very low humidity levels, and all that sunshine out there, just a perfect spell of weather for the next couple of days, although it will turn a little hot tomorrow.
Now that I've gotten my fill of rain from the 4th of July, are we going to have any for the rest of this week?
Not much. We've really turned the corner here. You know, we had that record wet May and June, and it's been relatively dry outside of that downpour in downtown Chicago for the month of July and in some of the south suburbs. But we have one chance of rain over the next 5 days. That's Monday night and Tuesday morning, and that is not much. We're talking a tenth of an inch of rain, if you see anything at all. And after that, the next best chance of rain is isn't until Friday. So a dry stretch of weather coming up here in Chicago with little or no rain right through Thursday.
Is it too early to tell if it's early Friday or late Friday? And the reason that I ask is the WGN-TV Morning News, we're doing our annual block party outside Homewood.
That's right.
On Friday morning, we're going to be out in Homewood live and outside. So does it look like the rain might be then? Because, you know, I love a good chance of being electrocuted during a live broadcast.
I think you used up a couple of your lives that night. Let's see. I'm looking here. There could be some storms Thursday night into Friday morning.
Oh, great.
Looks like an early morning and late night type of deal right now. But timing could change. It's still 5 days out.
I'm not so worried
for you.
Not so worried about me, but, you know, Larry Potash's hair, you just can't do anything with it during the rain. Mike, we'll continue and get updates on that. Have a great day today. There is meteorologist Mike Hammernick with our latest forecast. And we have been monitoring what's going on in Thailand, the rescue of the young boys in the cave. Let's go to Dave Schwann in our WGN newsroom for the latest on that.
Yeah, and Dean has spun the case all morning. ABC News providing us with updates. Let's join them right now.
Four are out safe, eight to go, plus their soccer coach. Pro divers bringing out the trapped boys from the flooded cave in Thailand faster than expected. An ambulance carrying one of the boys to a hospital. Those rescued have been coming out in pairs, taken immediately to hospitals. ABC's Matt Gutman is at the scene.
It's been a pretty incredible scene to watch. And you see people, when the rescue workers came out earlier, there was jubilee and there was a whole line of soldiers here. Some of them saluted them. So this is all very good news. This has gone incredibly quickly, 4 to 5 times faster than anticipated. And while you never want to see anybody in an ambulance, the whole country heaved this sigh of relief when that first ambulance passed right by here.
Thai officials say they'll resume getting more people out of the cave in the next 10 to 20 hours. 18 divers are taking part in the operation. The rescue dives began last night at about 11 p.m. Eastern time. At around 7 a.m. Eastern, the first boys were brought out. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
We will continue to get updates from ABC throughout the morning. Follow this story here on 720 WGN.
I can't emphasize enough how mind-blowing it is that these guys are able to do this, that these 17 divers, is that what they
18,
said?
18.
18 divers.
Yeah.
Performing this magnificent rescue.
They're working from a number of countries. There are U.S. people involved, Navy SEALs. Apparently, they call them Navy SEALs also in Thailand. You know, the highly trained, highly skilled cream of the crop there in Thailand involved with this. But also expert divers from the U.S.
With heavy equipment, though. With
very heavy equipment.
As they said in an update earlier, going in with jackhammers.
Yeah.
Going into that narrow cave with jackhammers to try to open up the space a little bit and smooth out some of the jagged rocks that might hurt the kids when they come out.
Well, it not only hurt them, but perhaps hurt the gear and thus jeopardize their oxygen supply.
Yeah. Yeah.
As we've mentioned, and maybe you've seen the videos there, but how narrow those passageways are.
Yeah.
It's just unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. That's what I mean. It's amazing. Nothing but admiration for these rescuers. Yeah. True heroes.
They are. They are. Four rescued now. And again, to recap, they have suspended the rescue efforts, not because of any bad things particularly happening, but to prepare for bringing out the next round of boys in another 8 to 10 hours. It's 10:33 at night there, so, you know, when they resume this operation, it will be during the day for them in Thailand. So,
have they suspended because it's 10:30 at
night? It's dark, and they have to prepare again. You know, a lot of preparation and involved to get these people out of that that space.
Yeah.
I can't recall this type of a rescue situation before. We've seen the extraordinary rescue of the miners,
the coal miners in Chile.
Yeah, but this is a different scenario with the water and that sort of thing.
Amazing.
Yeah, it is. Also amazing was the emergency landing of a helicopter, a medical helicopter, last night near I-57 and the Bishop Ford. That copter carrying four people, including a patient in critical condition, three passengers on board. They are in stable condition. The critical person remains in that condition, but feeder ramps going into and out of I-57 and the Bishop Ford remain closed as that investigation continues. WGN Sports. Andy Mazur.
Well, the Sox are hoping not to go 0 for the Astros this season when the two teams play the final game of their four-game series today. The White Sox 0-6 so far against the Astros. They've been outscored 54-15 in six games to date. I'll have your pregame at 12:35. Ed and DJ, the first pitch at 1:10 here on WGN. Lucas Giolito will throw for the White Sox against Dallas Keuchel. Cubs start the day a game and a half behind the Brewers in the National League Central. They'll send 11-game winner John Lester to the mound in the series finale against the Reds this afternoon. Cubs' last eight victories have been in comeback fashion, and our holdover guest, Javi Baez, says no big deal.
That's what we do. I mean, we fight to the end, and, you know, we've been coming back since 2016. We've been doing it, so we just got to realize who we got in our lineup. You know, it don't matter how many runs we're down.
Jason Hayward is in today's starting lineup a day after fouling a ball off his groin. Chris Bryant is getting closer to a rehab assignment as well, taking ground balls yesterday and taking BP today. Bulls first-round pick Wendell Carter Jr. made his summer league debut, dropped 16 points and grabbed 9 rebounds in an 86-81 win over the Cavs. Loyola's Dante Ingram scored 5 points in his first action with the Bulls summer team. Bulls also saying goodbye to Jerian Grant. They sent him to Orlando as part of a three-team trade that also included Charlotte. The Bulls get Julian Stone from the Hornets, a non-guaranteed contract. The move will save the Bulls around $2 million. On the home of the Blackhawks, Northwestern Wildcats, and Chicago White Sox baseball, Andy Mazur, WGN Sports.
WGN traffic, as we reported during the newscast, the inbound Bishop Ford and outbound 57 interchange there remains congested because of the investigation due to the emergency helicopter landing last night around 9 o'clock. The ramp to outbound I-57 remains closed, and also the ramp to the outbound Bishop Ford is closed. Delays, the biggest delays there are the inbound Bishop Ford as you approach the Dan Ryan. Travel times now on the Dan Ryan Expressway, 35 minutes from the Bishop Ford into downtown, and from 95th to downtown the other way, looking good, 18 minutes. On the Eisenhower, a 20-minute trip, Wolf to downtown, a half hour from Veterans Toll way to downtown. The Kennedy inbound from O'Hare to downtown is 25 minutes. Outbound on the Kennedy downtown to O'Hare, a 20-minute trip.
Super busy today, Shawnee.
This is
I'm concerned about you. You never work this hard.
I'm trying.
You are earning your keep today. Andy and I have both nominated you for Employee of the Month.
Employee of the Month, Employee of the Week.
No, either. Don't get greedy.
Last time I at another broadcast outlet, I was the employee of the week, and I was like Charlie Brown on the Halloween, Charlie Brown's Halloween. I got a rock, like, and everybody else got candy, right?
That's what you're going to get here too.
This traffic. Anybody?
Charlie, we just
guess?
Moved. We don't have a lot of premiums to give employee of the month. Well, got some old chairs that we weren't using from Tribune Tower that you can have some of those.
We lost the slip and slide, the newsroom slip and slide. That's gone. So no telling where the newsroom Zamboni is for the winter months.
No idea what that means, but okay.
Anybody want to guess who the traffic sponsorship is this hour?
Me.
All right. Go ahead. Take
Andy Mason. We're calling on you, Andy Mason.
Let's see. What is Spot Hero? You set me up, didn't you?
You are wrong, oh, great sportscaster.
Well, that takes away your employee of the month in my vote. One less vote for you.
Uncle Dean?
Just tell us who it is.
This traffic report is sponsored by Sprint.
Oh.
Get unlimited from Sprint. Visit your local Sprint store, sprint.com/unlimited, or call 1-800-SPRINT-1. That's 1-800. It's spelled E-I-G-H here, so it's 1-800-SPRINT-1. That's 1-800-SPRINT-1. To learn more,
how was it spelled
today? Instead of E-I-G-H-T, it's E-I-G-H. So it's 800.
Is it possible that you have a typo?
Yeah. Quite possible.
Okay.
So 800-SPRINT-1.
Oh, money well spent, Sprint.
And for personalized traffic on demand, get the Traffic Chicago
app. Someone's getting a refund tomorrow.
Get the Traffic Chicago app, which is approved by the mortgage experts of Team Hochberg. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago and the Orcast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center.
Oh, good idea.
Mostly,
we could save a lot of time if we don't use all the letters and all these words anymore.
Mostly sunny, a high around 90 today, a little cooler near the lake. Clear skies overnight, low in the upper 60s. Sunny tomorrow, a little bit warmer, a little more humid, high in the lower 90s. Some scattered storms later in the day and in the early evening hours. High once again at 90. 77 now at O'Hare, 79 at Midway, and 80 at the lake. I'm Dave Schwann in the WGN Newsroom, and this is the stuff that matters on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Well, that'll be the day when you say goodbye. Yes, that'll be the day when you make me cry.
10:43 on 720 WGN, a time for the week in theater. What's going on stage in Chicago? The timeless music of Buddy Holly, some of the greatest rock and roll that's ever been recorded. The story of Buddy Holly has been on stage many times, and because of popular demand, has been extended. American Blues Theater's production of the Buddy Holly story. And joining us this morning is Zachary Stevenson. Buddy Holly himself is here with us. Good morning, Zachary. Nice to have you here.
Good morning, Dean. Nice to be here.
How cool is it to play this role? I would think as both an actor and a musician, to play the role of Buddy Holly has got to be the greatest.
It is.
And just to play this music that to me is the essence of pure rock and roll.
Absolutely. It's the foundation of all rock and roll. You know, Buddy Holly was kind of the first guy to be sort of a true indie rocker in a way that we take for granted now. You know, he started a band with his friends, wrote his own songs, got to record in an independent studio. And
when you think about what the music was with his music before his tragic death.
Yeah.
I mean, the popular music of that day was Pat Boone and Patti Page and, you know, all the, you know, nothing against them, the lovely singers of your hit parade. But along comes this guy with these glasses and turns the world upside down.
Yeah.
With his relatively small catalog of music.
Oh, yeah. His recording career was only about 18 months long.
That's amazing.
It's unbelievable. And, you know, any band you can trace right back to Buddy Holly really quickly. You know, without Buddy Holly and the Crickets, there probably would be no Beatles, you know, no Rolling Stones, in a certain sense. You know, they were huge fans of Buddy Holly. The first song on Rolling Stones' debut album was a Buddy Holly song. The first demo the Beatles recorded was That'll Be the Day.
Right.
You know, they saw something in Buddy that was really inspiring. You know, that, hey, you know, you don't have to be the best-looking kid on the block to be a star, you know. He's a little awkward, but, you know, he had a fire inside him. And
well, I mean, it turns out he could walk down Milwaukee Avenue in Wicker Park right now and completely fit in.
Totally.
Yeah. You know, that look is now timeless and come back.
Exactly.
And artists were not only inspired by him,
mm-hmm.
who grew up with his music, but are artists who are way too young to have grown up with Buddy Holly's music, yeah, still inspired by him, because that's what I mean, the essence.
Yes.
And anyone who loves music will go back and find the music of Buddy Holly and just see the roots of everything else that's happened since then.
Absolutely.
A lie in the music of the greats of that era.
Yeah. You know, it's got a real authenticity behind it.
Yeah.
You know?
So the show Buddy, the Buddy Holly story, which now has been extended through September the 15th, is his life story? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I mean, it's... It really chronicles his meteoric rise. You know, it's begins in you know, Lubbock, Texas, the Grand Bowl Sunday country party, and ends up finishing with his final show with the Big Bopper and Richie Valens in Iowa in 1959.
Yeah. Now you take on the Buddy Holly role. Mm-hmm. Who else? You know, of the great rock and rollers. I mean, I assume the Crickets are also his band. The Crickets are a part of this, right?
Yeah, absolutely. The Crickets, and we got Richie Valens, Big Bopper makes an appearance. We have a scene that takes place at the Apollo. So we have some of that, those great songs.
Did Buddy Holly play at the Apollo?
Yeah, he played at the Apollo.
I never knew that.
Yeah, it was an unusual circumstance because you know, back in that time, that you know, the images were not readily available of what these guys looked like. So you know, they sent out these demo recordings, and it was assumed that the Crickets were a black group.
Oh.
And so when they showed up at the Apollo, they were
surprise.
It was a big surprise. Yeah, so it you know, it was a bit of an intimidating experience. I mean, playing the Apollo for anybody is intimidating, right, but for these kids from Lubbock, it was particularly so. And so, yeah, it was
I'm
a bit
sure
scary.
The audience probably was a little surprised, too.
Oh, certainly,
I'll
yeah.
walk out these, what would be like, four white guys?
Yeah.
I forget the Crickets
yeah.
were three or four.
That's right, four.
With Buddy four, right?
Yeah, with Buddy
yeah,
four.
Yeah,
so.
I'm sure that was... a show that people did not expect to get at
yeah.
the Apollo Theater that
it
day.
Was a memorable night for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's start off with the song. We'll take a break and come back and talk some more.
Which
I mean, these are all such great classic songs.
Yeah, well, let's do a song that was initially titled Cindy Lou, but the drummer is trying to get a date, so he encouraged Buddy to change the name.
Always a good idea if you're trying to get a date.
Absolutely. And this one is called Peggy Sue.
Zachary Stevenson is Buddy Holly, the Buddy Holly story at American Blues Theater at stage 773. Take it away.
If you knew Peggy Sue, then you'd know why I feel blue about Peggy. My Peggy Sue. Oh, well, I love you, gal. I used to love you, Peggy Sue. Peggy Sue, Peggy Sue. Oh, how my heart yearns for you, Peggy. My Peggy Sue. Oh, well, I love you, gal. I used to love you, Peggy Sue. Peggy Sue. Peggy Sue, pretty, 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 pretty Peggy Sue, oh Peggy, my Peggy Sue. Oh well, I love you, gal, and I need you, Peggy Sue. I want you.
gal and I want you, Peggy Sue.
Zachary Stevenson is Buddy Holly, Buddy the Buddy Holly story at Stage 773. Tell you more about it. We've got another song coming up next on WGN. Remembering Buddy Holly today on our Weekend Theater segment, what's going on stage in Chicago. Zachary Stevenson plays Buddy Holly in the production, Buddy, the Buddy Holly story, put on by American Blues Theater, and is currently extended now at Stage 773 at 1225 West Belmont. People must just be singing along, Zachary. I would imagine when this show's going on, this is one of the shows where you have everybody in the audience, I hope not distracting you while you're trying to perform, but how do you not want to sing along with all these great songs?
Oh, yeah, it's a riot. His catalog is incredible, and I think most people who think they maybe know one or two songs find that they know a lot more of the material, because it's, you know, it's just timeless and excellent.
It's a little more challenging than an acting role that you might take, because you're acting, but also you and all the other actors are also performing instruments as
well. That's right. Yeah, everything is played live in the show. We have an unbelievably talented ensemble. And so, yeah, it's an extra challenge, but it's also, you know, extra fun. We get to, you know, rock out every day and jam, play a little bit different. You know, the solos might be a bit different, or how you attack something might be a bit different every day. And, you know, it's a lot of fun.
Really fun to hear the music. Which one are you going to do for us now?
I'm going to do Every Day, which is one of my all-time favorites.
Zachary Stevenson, Buddy Holly, take it away.
Every day it's a getting closer, going faster than a roller coaster. Love like yours will surely come my way. Hey, hey, hey. Every day it's a getting faster. Everyone said go ahead and ask her. Love like yours will surely come my way. Hey, hey, hey. Every day seems a little longer. Love's a little stronger, come what may. Do you ever long for true love from me? Every day it's getting closer, going faster than a roller coaster. Love like yours will surely come my way. Hey, hey, hey. Love like yours will surely come my way. Hey, hey, hey. Love like yours will surely come my way.
Zachary Stevenson is Buddy Holly, the Buddy Holly story, through September the 15th, just extended, AmericanBluesTheater.com or 773-327-5252. It's at Stage 773 at 1225 West Belmont. Zachary, thank you for coming in.
My pleasure.
Sounded
great.
Thanks so much. Really, really fun. We are going to get into the WGN newsroom. We've got another update on the rescue of the young boys in the cave this morning. Let's go to Dave Schwann, WGN Chicago. Schwanny?
Thank you, Dean. Let's join ABC Radio now for an update.
least four of those trapped soccer team boys now safely out of the flooded Thailand cave. Thai Navy SEAL members swimming them out in full oxygen face masks. ABC's Matt Gutman says they saw a sudden rush to get the boys out before more monsoon rains.
Significant activity. This is the most activity we've seen here. Volunteers and soldiers, and we saw rescue crews going out seconds ago. They are coming out by the dozens right now, marching all the way down that hill about 1,000 feet away from the mouth of that cave. This is good news.
Divers have far more work ahead. Former Navy SEAL and ABC News contributor Admiral Robert Harward explains the challenge.
There are going to be two divers escorting the boys, but where they get into those crunch areas, they'll have additional divers at those positions. So they've done the rehearsal of that to make sure that all those problem areas are addressed.
Four rescued boys now in the hospital. Andy Field, ABC News.
We will continue to follow this story as it continues. It's 11 p.m. in Thailand right now, so the rescue efforts have been suspended for the night, and they'll resume during the morning hours. But to recap, four rescued. They have been taken to hospitals and are for a medical observation, and we are very hopeful that the rest will be out in the next 2 to 4 days.
You think you could do what those rescuers are doing?
No, absolutely not.
I mean, we're not trained to, but don't you think it's like a special kind of fortitude, you know, of a person?
Yeah, yeah. And in this case, it's more than training. It's the perseverance and the attitude that they're going to get the job done, and we will succeed. That's remarkable.
Yeah, it's this, like the mentality. I mean, they have Navy SEALs as we do. It's that mentality that we will get this job done no matter what.
Right.
Same thing with the policemen and firemen and first responders. We will, while everybody's running out of a burning building, we'll run into the burning building. It's that kind of mentality, fortitude, you know, something like that, that you have to have nothing but respect for, right?
Exactly. And as ABC just reported, it's not just divers going in individually to get one and then bring them out. This is truly a team effort where certain divers are stationed at various areas to bring them out. So it's kind of a relay. You know, one will go in to bring them to a certain place.
Right.
And in those really tight areas, there are divers waiting for them to work around the really critical, tough areas to bring them out. Think of the preparation that has to be involved with this.
Well, I got a sense of it now in this last report where they were talking about rehearsals and staging.
Exactly.
This is it's not like they just, you know, put on a wetsuit and a tank and dive in. I mean, this has been meticulously planned, obviously, for days and days, and rehearsals and how they were going to do this is very meticulous in how they're doing it.
So. Yeah.
Fascinating.
And between now and when they resume the rescue efforts, I'm sure they're going to go through what worked, what didn't work so well, how can we improve as we continue to do this. So
the only question now is which actors will play these rescuers and little kids when the movie is ultimately made about this whole thing, because that's going to happen.
Yeah, Andy and Rick Pearson and I were
you all should be in the movie. All three of you should be in the movie. Superb athletes that you are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what part will you play, Dean?
I'm going to play the fat sheriff who's who gets the phone call. It's like, what?
We got what?
What? We have kids in the cave. What? That's going to be me.
Okay.
Eating a donut.
Eating a donut.
Eating a donut when the first call comes in.
And a great big cup of coffee.
Right. With it. Right? What?
With or without the glasses. I think that's very stylish, by the way.
Wearing them on my head?
Your forehead.
I feel like a librarian today. I mentioned at the start of the show, they're changing the prescription of my glasses. So I'm wearing contact lenses with reading glasses. And the people have been texting me about that I should have gotten bifocal contact lenses. I trip on stuff enough. I don't need well, we should finish the news, and then we can talk about this. We're still in the news, right?
Oh, very much so.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yes.
I'll tell you about my
eyes.
We're
not even close to the spot break in Andy's sports.
I would like to talk about my eyes when we have a moment.
We'll get there. We are looking at another amazing story here, and the investigators still at the scene at I-57 and the Bishop Ford Expressway today. Feeder ramps to both of those expressways are still closed. Investigators continue to work there after an emergency helicopter landing last night. WGN's Andrea Darlis has more.
This Eurocopter 135 air ambulance crashed shortly after 9 o'clock last night after making a mayday call. The red helicopter landed on its belly in the grassy median where the interstate splits near State and the Bishop Ford.
The copter was carrying a person in critical condition and three other passengers, all taken to area hospitals. That person that was in critical condition remains so. The others are stable. There is no word yet as to why the copter had to make that emergency landing. Hot and dry conditions are stoking fires in the western states. The holiday fire that burned 100 acres in Santa Barbara County, California, now 80% contained, but other fires have cropped up around the state. ABC's Will Carr reports.
Helicopter swooping in after two sudden fires ignited near Los Angeles, one forcing evacuations in Burbank, the other threatening homes in Granada Hills, some residents fighting the fires themselves. Just outside San Diego, firefighters getting much-needed relief as the West Fire dies down, but flames still burning among the ruins of devoured home after devoured home.
And temperatures were well into the triple digits around Burbank and even Santa Barbara, California, yesterday. 13-year-old Darian Torres was killed after being caught in a rip current in Lake Michigan, swimming on the city's north side Friday. She and two others were involved in the water. Torres was pulled from the water along with a 13-year-old girl and a boy who survived. There were high waves and rip currents Friday through Saturday morning. Dozens of protesters are calling for Indiana Attorney General Curtis Hill's resignation. He's facing allegations that he inappropriately touched a state lawmaker and several other women. He's called these allegations vicious and false and has rebuffed calls to resign. WGN Sports, Andy Mazur.
Well, so far, no good for the White Sox on their visit to Houston. Still looking for their first win of the year against the defending champions. Lucas Giolito heads to the mound today facing Dallas Keuchel. I'll have your pregame at 12:35. Ed and DJ, the first pitch at 1:10 here on WGN. Cubs starting the day a game and a half behind the Brewers in the Central. They'll send John Lester to the mound today against Luis Castillo for the Reds in the series finale. Roster move made today. Anthony Bass going on the DL with an illness, and the Cubs have selected the contract of James Norwood, a AAA pitcher. Bulls first-round pick Wendell Carter Jr. made his summer league debut, 16 points and 9 rebounds in an 86-81 win over the Cleveland Cavaliers. On the home of the Blackhawks, Northwestern Wildcats, and Chicago White Sox baseball, Andy Mazur, WGN Sports.
WGN traffic delays continue on the inbound Bishop Ford, also inbound I-57. This due to that ongoing investigation of the emergency helicopter landing last night that took place around 9 o'clock. The ramp to outbound I-57 remains closed. Also, the ramp to the outbound Bishop Ford remains closed. Traffic tight in that area, but the expressways are open. We have delays now on the Kennedy from O'Hare to downtown. It's a half hour. A downtown out to O'Hare is a 25-minute trip. And also on the Ryan, we should look at travel times there as that's being affected by this closure. It's 36 minutes from the Bishop Ford into downtown. And outbound looks good, 20 minutes from 95th to downtown, inbound on the Ryan. Once you get past that 57 interchange, things start to move along. And for personalized traffic on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app. It is approved by Team Huckberg at Pearl Mortgage. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. And the forecast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center. Mostly sunny today, a nice day. High around 90, a little cooler near the lake. Clear tonight, low in the 60s. Sunny for tomorrow, a little bit warmer and some humidity creeping up. Scattered storms late in the day and into the evening hours tomorrow. High around 90.
I want yesterday again.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like yesterday's weather every day, please.
Wouldn't that be loverly, as the song says? That would be great.
Right?
Did you do any grilling?
Not yesterday. I didn't know. I did over the weekend, though.
I did on Friday.
What'd you cook up?
Fresh lake trout.
Oh, wow.
And it was wonderful.
I have to find out your preparation here.
It's very easy.
Let's finish the news and then
it was very easy. We have 80 degrees at all.
Did you catch the fish yourself?
No. I've grilled fish that I've caught, but no, this was caught at a store. So,
kind of beat did you use?
I waved at the person behind the counter and said, "May I have that, please?" So that was there was no bait involved, but the fish was very, very good.
Want to get your recipe? In a
very
second.
Good. 80 degrees at all of our official major reporting stations.
Lovely.
O'Hare, Midway, and the Lakefront. I'm Dave Schwann in the WGN Newsroom, ready to join the conversation whenever a story changes on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
So were these whole fish that you put on the grill?
No, these were filleted.
Fillets.
These were filleted.
Skin still on?
Skin was still on.
Inside down on the grill? I prefer
it that way because... Well, it's much like that salmon recipe that you've talked about.
I think it makes it much easier to grill that way.
Much easier to, not only that, and easy to eat, because once it's cooked, it just pulls away from the skin.
Yeah, the skin stays on the grill, and the fillet, you get a nice spatula.
That's right.
And the fillet comes right off.
That's right. That's exactly right.
I bet that was delicious.
And I also use a seasoning. A friend of mine a long time ago gave me a little New Orleans cookbook with some recipes in it. And there's a recipe in there for some New Orleans Cajun seasoning where you use some cayenne pepper and red pepper.
A chili powder in it.
Chili in it, some onion powder, garlic.
Oignon.
And then you mix it all up. And you can use that. You can use any type of seasoning you may wish. I just sprinkled that on there right when I put the fish on the grill. 20 minutes, and I've got a meal.
I'll tell you what, you cannot beat that.
Nope.
I did some, I was talking about this recipe. You know, I grilled on TV, Tuesday, I grilled on TV. I was outside and cooking all morning on TV, and one of the things that I grilled was lemon butter salmon.
Yeah, that's the salmon you talk about.
On the grill.
That sounds good.
I liked it. I liked it fine, but I when I'm at home, I make the honey mustard salmon all the time. Couldn't be any easier. Get a nice honey mustard, you know, from the store, a bottle.
Mm-hmm.
Put it on top of the salmon. Spread it on top of the salmon.
A thin layer.
Yeah, you don't want too much. You don't want to overdo it. I also put some dill on it. I sprinkle some dill on.
Love dill.
Same thing. Goes on the grill 12, 15 minutes. It depends on the thickness of the fish.
Right.
How long you leave it on there. But same thing. Skin side down. Skin stays on the grill. Get a nice spatula, and the fillet comes right off.
Yep. That's delicious. What I did.
Delicious. And I got a lot of rave reviews also for my potato/pasta salad with pesto that I also talked about last week. I showed how to do that on TV. I grilled up a bunch of vegetables, and I had some grilled asparagus, some grilled both green and yellow zucchini squash. I put that in. What else did I put in? I didn't grill, but I cut up some celery. I diced up some celery real very small to add some crunch and some green onions. And I mixed up. I had some pasta. I used like those, you know, the spirals, something like that.
Mm-hmm. A rotini pasta, perhaps.
Something like that. A rotini.
Yeah.
I boiled up some nice small red potatoes, mixed those two together, put the pesto in. Then all the grilled veggies that I put in, mixed all that together. And then I topped it with the celery and the fresh green onions. So it had like a nice, you know, fresh green crunch to it as well. It was delicious.
Yeah.
But if I do say so myself, it was very good. But a lot of people tried the recipe and sent me back notes of how delicious it was. It is really good. And the recipes are up at WGNTV.com/Dean's List.
You could put some roasted red or green peppers in there, too.
Oh, you know what? I did put red peppers.
Yeah.
I did roast up a red pepper, and I put that in there.
Love roasted peppers.
Yeah. You can put green. I like to put red or yellow just to brighten up the look of it a little bit. You know what I mean?
Right. Some color.
Yeah, what else did you make besides the fish?
I had roasted potatoes and some corn that I just put in the oven.
Oh.
Roasted potatoes.
You cooked the corn in the oven?
Yeah, it was not corn on the cob. It was, well, it was roasted corn that you can get at a hot food bar, okay?
Oh, okay.
And right. Just did it the easy way. Yeah, put it in okay. A dish, heated it up, and, you know, roasted the potatoes with the fish, and it was wonderful.
It certainly works, you know, for sure. You know what I do sometimes? I know exactly what you're saying with that roasted corn that's on the hot food bar.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take that home and modify it up a little bit. I've talked about this Mexican street corn that I'm a little bit obsessed with right now.
Isn't that stuff good?
Oh, my gosh. It's amazing. I mean, you can do it with corn on the cob and cut the corn off.
Off the cob, yeah.
Which is great. Or you can do it the way Schwani did and just, you can get frozen corn or you can buy it on the hot food tray, whatever. But you into that, you add a little mayonnaise, a little butter, some chili powder, many of those Cajun spices, Schwani, that you were talking about.
Yeah.
You mix that in with the corn and it's unbelievable. It's
yep.
Just delicious. You serve it as a side dish. It's great.
Yep. This time of year, that's just
can't
tastes
go wrong
so
with that.
Good.
Can't right. go wrong with that. Yeah.
No, sir.
Can't go wrong. Fortunately, I did all of that before my vision dilemma. I noticed, you know.
Did anybody call you Mr. Magoo yet?
Canfields for everyone. Did Mr. Magoo do Canfields?
Yeah, well, that was Jim Backus who did the Canfields, yes. Yeah,
as Mr. Magoo,
as
though.
Mr. Magoo, right.
Tom, do you even know who Mr. Magoo is? This is how I know if we're talking too old, producer
I do,
Tom
yeah.
Hush. You do
see,
know Mr. Magoo?
I do know him. Can you hear me?
Here, Mr. Magoo.
Roadhog.
Hey, you.
Heavens to Betsy.
I knew who he was because Leslie Nielsen did a movie version in
that's
like oh, the late 90s.
That's yeah. who
that's how
did
I know
Mr.
Who he
Magoo.
Is.
Yeah, yes.
That's right. Well, you have to, you should see the original cartoon versions because they're goofy and they're funny. And by the way, I don't know if you've seen them lately. They're a little bit racist also.
Oh, no. No, surely not.
They are. He had a house, an Asian houseboy. What was his name, Schwani?
I don't remember.
The houseboy.
I don't remember.
It was the most stereotypical, like horribly stereotypical, it was awful. I was watching it. It's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that I never noticed that before. But anyway,
tomorrow on WGN TV, you'll be walking through the hall
an
with
expose.
Your hands in front of you.
Yeah, that's going to be me. Well, here's the deal. You know, I've worn glasses since I was in grade school.
Yeah, fourth grade for me.
Yeah, pretty much the same for me, I think. And then I wore contact lenses after that. And then this LASIK surgery thing came up, and I had LASIK surgery. I want to say it was maybe 17 years ago, something like that. We talked about it like crazy on Spike Odell's show back in the day because he was fascinated by it. And it's been great ever since then. But I've noticed that my vision has been changing, that things are not quite as sharp, you know, and bright as they used to be. So, you know, I go for an eye exam, and the eye doctor very politely tells me, yeah, sometimes when we get older, our
vision isn't what it
changes, Grandpa. It's so I'm getting new glasses made right now with a new prescription. But in the meantime, my old ones are a little fuzzy, and I didn't want to be walking around with that. So that she says, you know, why don't you wear these contact lenses, and then your distance vision will be perfect. And then just put on the cheaters when you need to read, which is what I've been doing. But I'm so the glasses that I normally wear are bifocal, so it's very easy for me. It's the progressive bifocal.
That's what I have. Yeah,
and some people can't adjust to them. I adjusted to them great, but now I'm back to just like regular old cheaters, putting them on and off and on and off and on and off, and it's driving me crazy.
Wearing them on your forehead,
and I am on my forehead. So people have been texting in to me saying that they have bifocal contact lenses, that I should be using that.
Hmm.
And that seems like just doing the contact lens thing with the with the fluids and the lotions and like all that stuff that you got to do to keep them clean this morning. It's like, I don't want to go back to that again. I'm doing it temporarily till my new glasses are done. But I don't know how the bifocal things, I don't even know how that could work with contact lenses.
I don't either.
Not 100% sure how that works. And then the eye doctor says, would you like it if I make one of your eyes for distance and one of your eyes for reading? Two different contact lenses, one for distance and one for reading.
So do you cover up one eye when you're...
She says that your brain adjusts
to it.
To which I say... Doctor, you don't know my brain. Apparently, you've never met my brain before. That seems like... I've talked to people who have done that, and they say you get used to it, but I feel like I would be... I feel like I would be Mr. Magoo if I did that. Wait a minute, my left eye. Wait a minute.
Goodness.
I still don't know how you do contact lenses. I can't get my finger anywhere near my eye.
Really?
I mean, it can be like 2 feet in front of me and my eye closes.
And you start to wince a little bit from that.
I don't even like eye drops. It's hard for me to put eye drops in my eyes.
Shawnee, go put some eye drops in Andy's eyes.
Since we're talking about aging here, you want to kind of talk about my knee here that gives out every once in a while?
Your rheumatiz
medicine? My rheumatiz.
Oh, here's a very nice listener that says, maybe I'm developing cataracts. Oh, that's nice.
I have that in the making. Every time I go to the eye doctor, he said, you're a long time away from the surgery, but they're coming up.
But you have the makings of it?
I have the makings of them. It takes a long time, and they have to get to a certain point before they can remove them. So you have to wait. My dad had cataract surgery, so did my mother.
Yeah.
So,
getting older is great.
About that knee acts up every so often.
My rheumatiz.
I knew when that storm was coming on the 4th of July. I should have called you, Dean.
You should have. I wouldn't have answered, but you should have called. Tomorrow on the WGN-TV Morning News, I'll have all your entertainment news. As always, we've got new sports, weather, traffic, everything you need to start your day. And I suspect that one of the big stories tomorrow morning will be the continuing coverage of the rescue of the young boys in the cave in Thailand. We are following that story very closely this morning. We will continue. My guess is that it will be continuing tomorrow morning, and we'll have the live coverage tomorrow morning as well on the WGN-TV Morning News on WGN-TV Channel 9. Hope you can tune in for that. Shawnee, we're going to get another update from ABC about what's going on right now. The rescue is suspended because it's night there right now, correct?
Yes, and just because it is night and that they're preparing for more rescue efforts tomorrow. So let's join ABC for another update.
More than 12 hours since the rescue operation started in Thailand, 4 boys have been brought out by divers from the flooded cave in which they've been trapped for 2 weeks. They're in a hospital. Officials say more rescues won't happen for another 10 hours or so. The Thai governor says they have to spray more oxygen into the cave. ABC's Matt Gutman at the scene.
People are handing each other food and smiling at each other. It's a scene that is so different than what we've been seeing here, where everybody has been grim and stern, hoping for the best, but not necessarily expecting it. A complete seismic shift in the attitude here just over the past couple of hours. It's fantastic to watch. Again, but we're not through yet.
The Thai regional governor in the past hour or so said today's mission involved 18 divers, including 13 foreigners. He says about 90 divers helped overall over the past many days, more than half from other nations. He says the kids held on from below the diver with a mask to prevent the water from getting in. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
And we will continue to follow this story. Updates up to the ball game, the pregame show that starts at 12:35 with Andy Mazur. So, again, 4 boys rescued, the first 4 to be rescued from the cave in Thailand. That leaves 8 other boys and the soccer coach that have been inside that cave for 2 weeks. We're also watching the story on the south side of Chicago. Investigators still at the scene of the emergency landing by a medical helicopter helicopter last night at I-57 and the Bishop Ford. Four people involved there, including a patient in critical condition. Feeder ramps going into and out of I-57 and the Bishop Ford remain closed. We'll have an update in traffic in just a moment. Two of the three people that were swimming on the city's north side last night are recovering. The third person died after being pulled into a rip current in Lake Michigan. 13-year-old Darian Torres was died after being caught there. She was pulled from the water about an hour after she was reported missing. WGN Sports, here's Andy Mazur.
Well, White Sox baseball in about an hour. I'll have your pregame at 12:35 as the White Sox finish up the series against the Houston Astros. Ed and DJ, the first pitch at 1:10 here on WGN. It'll be Lucas Giolito to the mound for the White Sox today against Dallas Keuchel for the Astros. White Sox trying to salvage a game here in this series. Cubs will be in action this afternoon at Wrigley Field. They had to come behind and win a game yesterday. In fact, their last eight wins are in come from behind fashion. 11-game winner John Lester will go to the mound this afternoon against Luis Castillo for the Reds. And the roster move was made today as well. Anthony Bass going on the DL today with an illness. The Cubs have selected the contract of right-handed pitcher James Norwood from AAA. Bulls first-round pick Wendell Carter Jr. made his summer league debut and did it in fine fashion, dropping 16 points. He grabbed 9 rebounds and blocked a couple of shots in an 86-81 win over the Cleveland Cavaliers. On the home of the Blackhawks, Northwestern Wildcats, and Chicago White Sox baseball, Andy Mazur, WGN Sports.
What time is that White Sox pregame starting
today? That would
today?
Be in exactly 1 hour.
Ooh.
Although 12:35.
No, actually, 59 minutes and 17 seconds.
I'll be in the first segment exactly 1 hour from right now.
And then we will have another traffic report at 37 or 38 past the hour.
Then we'll take a little bit of a break, and we'll come back with a pitching matchup for you.
And finally, the game will start at what time, Andrew?
That'll be 1:10.
1:10. Thank you very much.
Did you get all that?
I was just trying to find out what time the show, my part, ends.
12.
I was just wondering what time
12,
I'm out of here 12, is what 30, I was wondering.
30, because we are expecting another update from ABC on the cave rescue. So,
okay.
12:30 and 30 seconds.
These on-air production meetings are very, very they're bountiful.
A lot of shows do this off the air, but we feel like you should know really how little preparation goes into the show.
Little? Try none.
Don't pull back the curtain. Just yank the curtain away.
Don't hear me arguing.
Yes, and pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
You don't hear me denying anything.
Well, WGN traffic. It's been an interesting morning traffic-wise, too, because the feeder ramps around the Bishop Ford and I-57 are continuing to be closed because of the investigation into that emergency helicopter landing last night. That is delaying things on the inbound Bishop Ford and also on the Dan Ryan. The Dan Ryan from the Bishop Ford to downtown is a 34-minute trip. And outbound looking good on the Ryan, 20 minutes from 95th to downtown. But we have a problem on the outbound Bishop Ford, an accident blocking the left lane at 130th Street. But that's outbound. That is past that area where the investigation is ongoing. So left lane blocked on the Bishop Ford outbound at 130th Street.
Did you say the feeder ramps are opened again now?
No.
Those are still closed.
They remain closed as they're trying to. That's got to be a very meticulous investigation.
Of course.
And probably a difficult area to get to when you think about it. Those expressways right there, that's a big split. A big intersection.
A lot of interchanging going on there,
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Now, on the Kennedy, from O'Hare to downtown, it's over a half hour now, 32 minutes. Downtown to O'Hare is 25. And on the Jane Addams, we're looking at a 34-minute trip. This is inbound from I-39 to Route 31. Other than that, we look pretty good on our expressways and tollways on this very sunny Sunday on Chicagoland. And for personalized traffic on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app. Approved by the mortgage experts of Team Hochberg, just search TRAFFIX Chicago. This report also sponsored by Firestone Complete Auto Care. Head into Firestone Complete Auto Care and get $60 off per axle on a standard brake service. Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone. Coupon is required. Restrictions and exclusions apply. Details at driveafirestone.com. And the forecast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center.
as I clear my throat. Mostly sunny for this afternoon.
Turn the microphone off.
What, you don't want me to leave the mic on when I'm clearing my throat?
Right. Yeah, we're all casual here.
Everything else goes on.
You
this
act
show,
like this
right?
is a professional show.
A high today around 90, a little cooler near the lake. Clearing overnight, low in the upper 60s.
Oh, pardon me, I have to cough for a moment.
Whoa! Tomorrow, ample sunshine is what the forecast says. Temperatures in the low 90s, a little higher humidity also. 80 degrees across the board at O'Hare, Midway, and the lakefront. I am Dave Schwann in the WGN Radio Newsroom, and this is the stuff that matters on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Richard, Sunday morning in a minute. Paul Rudd, Michael Douglas talk about Ant-Man and the Wasp. Anybody see it? Anybody got a little review for it? Love those real people reviews that you give us. 312-981-7200. We'll get to that in just a minute. Did you see the story that they are finally going to rebuild the Uptown Theater at Lawrence and Broadway in Chicago? This magnificent, magnificent theater. I've never been inside. As far as my knowing of that theater, it's always been closed. But it's going to be restored to its original glory when it opened in 1925, which is amazing. It's a 4,300 seat theater. It's 46,000 square feet. And is going to be made as it was intended when it first opened in 1925 as a performing a live performance theater, not just movies, but bands. And I imagine they'll be doing theater things there as well. $75 million is going to go into this theater. Oh, here, I'm just reading ahead in the story a little bit. It was boarded up in 1981. After a Jay Giles concert, December 19th, 1981, after a Jay Giles concert, and has been boarded up ever since then. I lived just a few blocks away from there then, and it was right around 1981 that I lived there, that it closed down. But people like Bruce Springsteen played there, and Bob Marley, and the Grateful Dead, and Prince, and many others all played there. And I think it's great that they're bringing back these wonderful old movie palaces. It makes me think of some of the great movie palaces and performing, arts venues that have either been boarded up and are now gone or have been restored. Like the Paramount in Aurora went through major renovation and is now maybe one of the most successful theater renovations in the country. The Rialto in Joliet. Go down the
list.
That is
a beautiful theater.
That's an amazing theater. Was there one where, in Indiana where you grew up, Shawnee, a theater that you went to, one of these great old palaces?
There were two in Hammond, the Parthenon and the Paramount. And the last time I was in, I can't remember which one was which or where they were, but the Parthenon was in business into the late 70s, the early 80s. That was the last time I was there. And it was a little rough around the edges, there. But those are the ones I remember. When I was a boy and my mother grew up in Southern Illinois, we took our grandparents over to St. Louis to the Fox Theater there to see The Sound of Music.
Oh, that's a famous
huge
that's
theater.
That's like the Chicago theater,
yeah,
in St. Louis.
Yeah.
The Fox Theater is, yeah, like the Chicago theater.
Yeah, that was 50 some years ago.
Chicago Theater is a good example of
it's
one
beautiful.
That was in terrible disrepair that really could use a little updating again today. But they brought that back. Remember when that? It's been easily a couple of decades, maybe more.
I covered the announcement there with Mayor Washington.
Yeah.
Dan Rostenkowski, by the way.
Sinatra reopened it after they rebuilt
it. The opening show, yeah.
Isn't Sinatra the first one after the restored Chicago theater?
Right.
When I was a kid, we used to go to the Avalon Theater on 79th Street on the south side. That was, it's now the Regal Theater, and it's now closed. They're supposedly supposed to bring it back, update everything to state of the art, and bring it back. And I wish they would, because it's magnificent inside. as many of these old theaters that were in the neighborhoods.
I hate to bring this up. It's another Three Stooges reference. But remember when you did the Three Stooges special?
Oh, we at the Uptown. The Granada. The Granada on...
That was perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a great place to see Three Stooges films. I hosted a Three Stooges film festival in the 80s. And to see these old Three Stooges movies on big screen.
And in a theater, like the way they were first presented.
The way these were intended to be seen.
Yeah.
These short films, these shorts were intended to be seen was amazing. Yeah, the Granada Theater was one of these great old palaces. And I know the Chicago area is loaded with these beautiful theaters. Some have been restored and brought back, and some didn't, and have either closed and have been torn down or are churches now, or they've found some other uses for them now. But great that there is this restoration project that's going to be going on for the Uptown Theater at Lawrence and Broadway. I would just like to go in there right now and take a look and see what it's like, and then see what it's like when they're finally done with the $75 million later. Maybe that will be a good place to see new movies like Marvel's latest Ant-Man and the Wasp. In a minute, One-on-One with its two stars, Paul Rudd and Michael Douglas. Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WGN. Dean Richards, Sunday morning, 11:48. Number one movie of the weekend, Ant-Man and the Wasp, the latest Marvel Comics addition to the universe. I liked Ant-Man and the Wasp. I believe I gave it a Dean's List B+. I love Paul Rudd. Practically Do No Wrong for me. Michael Douglas is great. Evangeline Lilly is in the movie. She plays Michael Douglas's daughter, the Wasp, in the movie. Good story, great effects, really fun. It's sort of it's not R-rated at all, but it's sort of a cross between the humor of a Deadpool and the more traditional kind of Marvel movies. There's a very definite sense of humor to this movie, which I really liked, and I enjoyed the story. I enjoyed all of the action and the special effects. I think this one, pretty much you could, take your kids and not have any problem. In fact, the movie is very family-oriented at the same time. It's good guys and bad guys, of course, but there is a very strong thread of family and fatherhood in this movie as well that I think is kind of nice for families to embrace with this one. A couple of weeks ago, we were in Los Angeles and sat down one-on-one with the stars of the movie, including Paul Rudd, who I enjoy in just about everything that he does. But I think that just the same way Ryan Reynolds is so perfect for the Deadpool role, I think that Paul Rudd is so perfect for this one. Paul Rudd, who's got a couple of kids, I believe are, maybe 3 and 5 years old, something like that now. Could it be any better to have your dad be Ant-Man if, those are the ages? Oh, actually, his kids are older than that, I'm told, and a teenager. But still, to have your dad be a Marvel superhero has got to be one of the coolest things in the world. And that's one of the things that we talked about. How do your kids react to being in this and the older movie?
They get a real kick out of it. They think it's pretty cool. My son is 13, and... he's really gotten into the whole MCU and has gone back and watched all the films. And he's in that weird age where he is now, because he's a teenager and he just wants to hang with his friends, and all mom and dad do, it's just embarrassing. And he's right. And
that's why I wondered if he was like, oh, this is no big deal, you're Ant-Man, who cares?
No, he will make jokes and he'll like kind of rib me about everything, because that's what you do when you're 13, and right. He's a funny kid.
It's your job.
But it's very apparent to me that he thinks it's pretty cool and takes pride in it. And my daughter is 8 years old, and she's so enamored with the entire thing. She loves ants. She draws Ant-Man, and she has a little action figure on her night table. And so it's... it's an interesting thing, because it's a wonderful thing for me in my life to be a part of something so global and enormous and fun. Yeah, right. And yet, it's what it's brought to me and my family and my relationship with my kids and this fun thing we have with it is pretty cool.
I was reading an interview someplace with you where you almost were being defensive about being so nice to everybody. It's
like, this article came out 2 days ago, and everybody is asking me about
well,
this.
You know, because like, I'm not that nice of a person.
No, it's... that was the headline on
I would
the
like to know why you are not such a nice person.
Well, that's not the case. I do think I'm a nice person, but I think I'm not nice all the time like everybody. We all have many dimensions to our personalities, and you know, people are seeing a fairly filtered, specific version of me. They see me in interviews like this or on talk shows, which right. is some anecdotal thing.
It'd be a perfect time to punch me in the face or something.
I can
right
do
now.
It right now and dispel this whole right. notion. But no, I think that it's you know, nobody's just one of something. But I don't think that I'm. I think I'm fairly nice. I don't think that I'm. I know Tom Hanks.
I think what? Well, that jerk.
I mean, that guy's just pure nice.
Forget it.
Yeah.
Did you have any concerns going into this about, you know, sequels can be dangerous and, you know, sometimes turn out awful? What are the kinds of things that you looked for to make sure that this didn't turn out that way?
Well, look, everything you go into with the biggest expectation and try and surprise people. You know, Marvel has a pretty good track record with their sequels, and I was excited because I thought, oh, people know these characters now, and comic books in general are things that kind of are serialized. The interesting thing about these films is that they tell a huge story, and so it's a different kind of thing. It isn't like doing this just a sequel to some standalone film.
Right.
I was excited that we were going to get to explore some of the things we explore in this movie, and was thinking about it before we even finished shooting the first Ant-Man, should this be a possibility.
The cross-pollination,
yeah,
things like
I,
that.
I get yeah. it, another bug joke.
Pretty cool. Thank you. Michael Douglas, again, is back in the Ant-Man franchise, and looking very healthy. When I sat down and talked with him, that's one of the things that really struck me after going through a battle with throat cancer. He appears to be in very, really great health right now. He's legendary. I mean, he and his dad, Kirk Douglas, part of Hollywood royalty, and I wonder how he felt about superhero movies being so dominant now in the movie business.
I'm wondering how you react to the biggest movies in the world now are all comic book movies. I mean, you're Hollywood royalty yourself. You've been part of some of the biggest and most important movies in the history of the medium. It's a definite shift in what is most popular right now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, on one side, I love these pictures, and the Marvel pictures, Ant-Man and the Wasp in particular, because of their globalization, in a time when everything is pretty divisive,
yeah.
You know, things are breaking up and this and that. We seem to be seeing all of our differences. To see a film that worldwide people love and like, the first Ant-Man, they were all surprised. It was a big success in China. This one now, they have that feeling. So it brings us together. And that, to me, has always been the joy of films. As far as them just taking over distribution of that, I mean, this has been the beauty of streaming, you know, of Netflix and Amazon and Facebook, the kind of movies that I used to do, the psychological thrillers, yeah. and character-driven, will probably be seen much more on streaming than they will in the big theater.
Yeah, it's an interesting time, though, isn't it, with streaming and so many platforms now on which to see motion pictures.
Great for talent.
It's great for talent and production and everybody, but it must be a little mind-blowing for you at the same time to have seen this evolution, right?
In your I think back to when I was in the late 70s when I was doing the China Syndrome, and I remember this guy at the studio came in from East Coast, and he had a new thing called video, and they were going to do
crazy
sell movies called video. So what? And they sell them in a store, and you get a video and you get those big boxes. And so to see what's happened from videos to DVDs to streaming is quite amazing.
It's a little crazy. On the internet, I was looking at some pictures that Catherine posted of your son's prom.
Right.
And I just wonder how you reflect on all of that. I know how I am with my nieces and nephews when they've hit certain levels, you know, certain ages, and I can't believe that they've gotten to be that age.
No, so fast.
And now you've got one that, you know, that's
he's on his way to college,
graduate now. That's
it's a great moment. It's a great moment. You love it. It's certainly a benchmark for him, and I think for Catherine and I has been a wife and father and mother. Really cherished and enjoy the moment, and they're good kids. I mean, I'm watching them in the different generations. I'm thinking this is very, makes me feel very, very optimistic about the future.
Yeah.
At a time when there's not a lot to be optimistic about.
I read that they are interested in show business, so
they are,
do you encourage that, or do you protect your children in any way?
Well, they know they're both really good. They've been at it for so long already. They've been at it since third grade, and every play, every show, they're in summer theater performing arts camps. I mean, their resume already is long, and they're good. So Catherine and I kind of looked at each other and said, absolutely, we support them.
Can't stop.
Not to say he may not go into politics.
Uh-oh. There you go, Michael Douglas, one of the stars of Ant-Man and the Wasp, number one movie of the weekend, and Paul Rudd. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, the very latest from ABC News on the rescue of the young boys that have been trapped in a cave. Four rescued right now. We'll get the latest and see what's going on.
This update from ABC.
Boys are out. Rescue workers working on bringing all 13 to safety. They've been trapped in that Thailand cave for the last few weeks.
People are handing each other food and smiling at each other. It's a scene that is so different than what we've been seeing here, where everybody has been grim and stern, hoping for the best, but not necessarily expecting it. A complete seismic shift in the attitude here just over the past couple of hours. It's fantastic to watch. Again, but we're not through yet.
ABC's Matt Gutman in Thailand. But now a pause in the rescue. Adrian Bankert explains.
It could be another 10 hours before we see another attempt at rescue and recovery. Those divers have to go in pairs. With each person brought out, they have two divers alongside them. And the big part of the story is how dangerous it was for an experienced diver alone, let alone a child who doesn't even know how to swim very well.
Rescuers working on a plan to remove the weaker boys still inside the cave. Andy Field, ABC News.
And we will have another update before our pregame show at 12:30 here on 720 WGN. No word yet on why a medical helicopter carrying a person in critical condition made an emergency landing shortly after 9 o'clock last night. It was able to land in a grassy median adjacent to I-57 and the Bishop Ford Expressway. Shamari Allen was a witness.
It was going straight this way at first, and then it turned around and landed right over there. It was on fire while I was in the air.
Three people aboard the copter are in stable condition. The person being transported remains in critical condition. Feeder ramps into and out of I-57 and the Bishop Ford remain closed as the investigation continues. Hot and dry conditions are stoking fires across the western states. The fire that burned 100 acres in Santa Barbara County, California, is now 80% contained. Other fires, though, have cropped up around California. Temperatures are well into the triple digits in central and the southern part of the state. A suburban executive is paying the price for trying to avoid paying taxes. WGN's Roger Battish has that story.
53-year-old Jordan Eckerling of Highland Park's been sentenced to 2 years in prison for concealing income to avoid paying more than $800,000 in taxes. He's the owner of PageCom of Illinois. It's a cell phone distributorship. As part of a plea deal, Eckerling admitted he concealed income by having the company issue him business checks that he used for personal expenses. Roger Battish, WGN News.
And a state backlog in determining Medicaid eligibility for nursing home residents is forcing a central Illinois facility's closure. Pleasant Hill Village in Girard will close September 1st. It's paid over $2 million for care that could be Medicaid eligible. We'll check sports, traffic, and weather next on WGN.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGDirect.com.
Do you have a family? Would you like to help make sure they'll be taken care of if anything were to happen to you? If you answered yes, you probably need life insurance. Now, do you think life insurance is expensive? If you answered yes to that too, you definitely need to give AIG Direct a call. we could find you a $250,000 policy for just $14 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free, no-obligation quote. 1-800-400-3816. Since 1995, we've helped millions of people find out if they could save up to 70% on their term life insurance. See how affordably we can help you protect your family. Call AIG Direct now for your free quote. 1-800-400-3816. You could save up to 70%. That's 1-800-400-3816. 1-800-400-3816.
It's your local Chevy dealer's 4th of July sales event. Now through July 9th, get 18% below MSRP on a 2018 Chevy Equinox Premier. That's over $6,700 in savings. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and take off for summer.
WGN Sports, White Sox playing Houston once again this afternoon. Our pregame in 1/2 hour, 12:35 with Andy Mazur. First pitch 1:10 with Ed Farmer and Darren Jackson here on 720 WGN. White Sox losing to Houston yesterday 12-6. Cubs play the Reds once again this afternoon. Cubs beat Cincinnati 8-7. Yesterday in the WNBA, it was Chicago over Minnesota 77-63. And in soccer yesterday, Chicago Fire lost to Vancouver 3-2.
I wanted to put in some vuvuzela sound.
Oh,
into the show. Sounds like a swarm of bees.
I know. You threw me when you played that.
I wonder if everybody's running around like crazy.
Remember when they had the horns many years ago?
Yeah,
at,
that's what those are.
Wrigley and Comiskey.
Yeah. It's just like saying vuvuzela mostly.
What do you call them again?
Vuvuzela.
I just call them horns. They were just horns.
You're so American.
What could, you know, they're just, that's what they are, those long horns. At any rate. Get away. Get away. Thank you for the sound, the theater.
That added a lot, didn't it?
It certainly did. It certainly did. Let's see. 24 minutes to go? Okay. WGN WGN wow. Traffic.
And I was about to compliment you.
Well, thank you.
I was going to tell you what a great job you did today. It's been a very, very busy news morning, and you have done a fantastic job covering everything today.
Well, that's what we do.
That's what I was going to say.
That's what you were going to say. But you know what I am going to say?
Mm.
What I always say at this time, at your service day and night, we do our job and do it right. WGN Traffic. We still have
the show with the Three Stooges reference.
We end with the Three Stooges. WGN Traffic, the ramps that we have been talking about around the Bishop Ford and I-57 remaining closed for the investigation of the emergency helicopter landing. The ramp to the outbound I-57 closed, and also the ramp to outbound Bishop Ford's is closed. And that traffic is tight as you approach the Dan Ryan on the Bishop Ford going into 95th Street. Inbound on the Ryan from Bishop Ford to downtown, a 37-minute trip. Outbound is good, 95th to downtown. Let's see, outbound, yes, 95th to downtown is 23 minutes. And also on the Kennedy, we are looking at delays here from O'Hare to downtown, 35 minutes from O'Hare into downtown, all the way out from downtown to O'Hare, a half hour. On the inbound Ryan, or inbound Eisenhower, pardon me, the inbound Eisenhower, Wolf Road downtown, a 25-minute trip, and from Veterans Tollway downtown, a 40-minute trip.
Look at all the work you have to do today with this.
This new traffic computer screen, it's like you without your glasses here.
No, I mean, it's exceptionally busy today.
Yeah, it just became that way with all of this going on. But, we have to get this done. So
I don't know about you, but, you know, we sign on to this Sunday morning show thinking there's going to be very little work for us to do.
And we can talk about food. We can talk about sports. We can talk about our health.
Right.
You know, our age.
Yeah. And if we would have known it was going to be this busy, we would have done a different
show. I would have just stayed in bed.
Right.
I would have just stayed at home.
Easy for me to say, I'm not. I'm still.
I would have called Pam Jones and said, "Pam, can you come in a little early today,
you're doing
please?"
A fine job today.
Thank you very much.
Fine job today.
Thank you. And you have too.
I have
without your usual glasses, your eyewear.
I'm doing pretty well for somebody who can't see anything that's gone on here for the last 4 hours.
I will be happy to lead you out of the building when you're ready to go.
Oh, great.
The blind leading the blind, right?
That's what I need.
For personalized traffic on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app, approved by the mortgage experts of Team Hochberg. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago.
I thought of something that we can do as a team building exercise for the Sunday morning show.
Yes.
I'll tell you after the news.
This delightful WGN forecast, a mostly sunny afternoon, high around 90, a little cooler near the lake. Clear skies tonight, low in the 60s. Tomorrow, sunny once again, a little bit warmer in the low 90s for a high and a little higher humidity. We have 82 now at O'Hare and Midway, 79 at the lakefront. I'm Dave Schwann in the WGN Newsroom, ready to join the conversation whenever a story changes on Chicago's very own 720 WGN. Hot,
hot, hot, beautiful Sunday. All right, don't say yes or no yet. But I have a great idea. Andy's busy getting ready with the White Sox pregame
show. He's the one that's
show.
Working today.
Yeah, Andy's actually working right now. So he's not here to comment on this. But I just think it would be really fun as a Sunday morning team building experience. Producer Tom Hush, you're going to be, you know, we're all a team here on Sunday morning. I'm looking out the window and I get this great idea that we should all go kayaking together.
Ah. Oh, wait. Andy just walked into the newsroom. We can bring him
Ask
in on
him.
This, too.
What do you think?
We're coming up with another way to do the show. Dean just suggested doing a kayak.
Sunday morning team building. We
the
all
Chicago River. What do you think?
We're all in
as long as there's a life jacket involved.
As long as
can
there's
I sign
a life
a waiver?
Jacket involved. And you have to sign
Someone,
a waiver.
Please.
Someone wants to sign a waiver.
I need all my assets taken care of.
You need your what?
My assets.
Oh, don't worry, your assets will be taken care of. All right. We'll take care of your assets. All right.
Oh God,
how fun would that be?
That would. That
have you
would
ever
be
kayaked before?
Yes, I have. I fell out.
It's super hard to do that, though.
Adds to the fun. 21st one in adds to the fun.
Yeah, that's all the more reason.
Now, where I've seen people kayaking all over the Chicago River. Where is there a place where you rent a kayak or something down here?
I think so. I've rented a kayak before to kayak on Michigan, but not on the river.
I think it's on the somewhere on the north branch of the river.
I know there's a park, a kayak park, right near WGN TV on Rockwell near Addison.
Yeah,
and I don't know if that's where you do it or you get your kayak from there. But I think it would be so much fun if we were. Kayaking all four of them.
Up and down the river.
How fun would that be?
Would we have to pair up, or would we each get our own kayak?
Well, I noticed there are some kayaks that have two people in them.
Right.
And some just have one.
I'll take Andy, please. I can put you two together. I'll take Andy.
Oh, thanks.
Great. Great. I think we should all have our own kayak.
Now,
And how fun would this be? If I'm sure that there must be electronic equipment where we could broadcast the show while we're kayaking.
Yeah, the cell phone.
Andy's coming to the studio.
Right? Oh, there he is.
He's coming to the studio here.
I think Tom made the smart choice.
To team up with you?
Yes.
No,
I was down there yesterday taking some pictures. And that kayak place down there, it was packed.
Where is the kayak place?
It's right down the river from us. It's right as you get toward the bridge.
Oh, it's on the Riverwalk?
At Lakeshore Drive, yeah.
Oh.
Now, see, that's very smart. This Riverwalk is...
I love it.
It's genius. This whole Riverwalk.
Yeah, because I went down the steps here at Columbus.
Yeah.
All the way down to the walk, and then probably about halfway between the Columbus Bridge and Lakeshore Drive. That's where it is, on this side.
I think it would be fantastic. The four of us.
Yeah, there's green and yellow ones.
I'm just thinking logistics here. You know, 4 hours.
I'm hearing the music playing from The Courtship of Eddie's Father. Yeah. Yeah, the four of us are walking on the river.
I was hearing Gilligan's Island.
Let me tell you about my best friend.
I was thinking about that three-hour tour.
3 hour Sunday morning show. Lost at Sea.
Yes.
So we can't do it after the show.
With our show, it would be Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea.
20,000 leagues under the sea.
We can't do it after the show because Andy has his White Sox pregame every week.
Maybe I could do pregame from there as well.
Perfect. Done.
That would go over real well.
I think it would be really fun.
Yeah.
Well, maybe
Tom, you
want to
get on
to
35th?
I have to produce that one, too.
Tom is the producer of all things on this show.
Okay.
Can do.
I'm just the idea man, and then Tom really makes everything.
He's the follow-through man.
No, that river runs southwest. I was going to suggest to Andy he could just continue to kayak down to 35th.
All the way down to the ballpark.
Yeah. Forget the red line. I can just take the kayak line.
Take the kayak down there. No, you'd
run Andy shows up at the ballpark with a kayak under his arm.
Excuse me, I don't have my media parking sticker on this. Can I still park
there? No, you could go down to the South Fork of the Chicago River.
Okay.
And that ends just around Racine and West Pershing.
Okay.
So then you could go over to the ballpark from there. How about that?
I like how Schwani thinks that we're all of us aren't going to fall in the river.
Yeah.
Within
minutes. I'm going to fall in.
I got to have somebody on backup for pregame that day. Just in case.
Just an idea.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
Or how about this? How about we go kayaking and invite the listeners to join us, like a mass kayaking?
Everyone have these kayaking groups that go up and down the river.
Yeah. We go kayaking. We do it for charity. The longer you don't fall in, the more money that's raised for charity.
I can see the headlines now. Massive kayaking accident on the Chicago River.
Oh, the humanity. All right. Well, we'll work on this as we have with so many different projects.
Haven't even gotten near the bowling show yet.
We're kayaking along. Let's just say that we somehow were able to stay in the kayaks, and the Wendella goes by and creates giant wake.
Yep, we're in trouble.
Now there's the answer to the kayaking problem. Just do it on the Wendella boat.
Well, that wouldn't be kayaking then.
No, but we'd still be on the water. You know, I'm watching these boats go up and down the water.
I think it would be fantastic. Don't we have, there's equipment where we could do that.
Right? Oh, I'm sure there is.
It could be done.
Technically, we could do the show on the Wendella.
I don't see why not.
All right.
Let's hook this up.
I still want to go kayaking with Schwani, though.
You don't.
Will the Wendella drop me off at a water taxi so I can go the rest of the way to the ballpark?
Ah, good question. I don't know.
Tom will work out.
Okay.
If anyone can make this happen,
Tom can do it.
Tom can make
it. Why is he shaking his head like that? Oh, sorry.
quick break. And how to pick the best produce in the store. The Food Time show's next. WGN. So we have another abbreviated version, or as I say, a bite-sized version of the Food Time show today because of White Sox pregame that'll start in just a few minutes. So what I wanted to get into today sort of occurred to me when I was at the grocery store the other day. And I cooked on TV the other day. We had some fantastic grilling ideas, if I do say so myself. Been getting great feedback from those of you who have tried some of my recipes. They're all up at WGNTV.com/Dean's List. You can take a look at them for yourself. But because I was shopping for that and also shopping for at home, been to the grocery store several times over the past few days. And in the produce department, you know, I was a produce man for several years. When I was a teenager, when I worked at the old A&P grocery store, I worked in the produce department. I know a little bit about picking great fruits and vegetables. And I always try to help people. I see people at the watermelons or at the cantaloupes or honeydews are like in good season right now. And I see people, you know, thumping and sniffing and pushing and doing things that don't help you whatsoever in trying to pick the best produce. And I always say, you know, can I help you with that? And almost always, 99% of the time, they're happy that somebody is helping them. So, you know, is there anything better this time of year than a fresh watermelon? I don't think so. On a hot day, a nice cold watermelon. And you look for, you know, even coloring on the watermelon. There will be a white spot because that's where it was laying on the ground when it was on the vine. But overall, you want sort of even coloring on the watermelon. Push both ends of the watermelons, you know, gently with your thumbs. Should be firm. But the number one way to find the sweetest watermelon that there could possibly be, give it a little knock. Just a little knock on the watermelon. If it sounds dense, move on to another watermelon. If it sounds hollow, that's the watermelon that you want. You want it to sound hollow when you give it a little knock on the watermelon. The knocks don't work on cantaloupe, for example, as long as we're talking about delicious melons for this time of year. Again, look at the overall texture, the skin of the outer skin of the cantaloupe. Should be a nice contrast in it, you know, good color. And again, take the non-stem side of the cantaloupe, the rounder end of it, give it a little push. It should have a little bit of give. If it's hard as a rock, that melon's going to take a little while to ripen up. You can get that one if you're not going to use it for several days. Leave it out on the counter in open air, and it certainly will ripen. But if you want something that you want to eat today, there should be you want to feel a little bit of give. And, you know, and kind of squeeze the cantaloupe a little bit. Should be a little give when you push it. You know, shouldn't feel hard as a rock. And exactly the same thing if you're choosing a honeydew, which they're hard to find. You know, honeydews that are already ripened up and just about perfect. But I found a nice big one yesterday that it was just perfect. I cut it up yesterday. I enjoyed it. Had a nice bowl full of ice cold honeydew yesterday. So delicious. Same kind of thing. The non-stem end should have a little bit of give to it. You can even take the honeydew, give it a little sniff, and it should give you a nice fragrant honeydew smell to it. Some folks are texting in some questions and asking about picking fresh produce. Here's an interesting one that I don't think anyone's ever asked me. How do you pick a perfect chile, a chili pepper? You know, a lot of them are dried already, so it's a moot point if they're dry already. But if you're choosing, you know, variety of pepper, generally smaller is hotter, a little more intense, but you want to look for even coloring on it. You don't want to see any wrinkling on it, because that means that it's old. But, you know, just give it a look, give it a feel. It should have a little strength to it when you feel it. It shouldn't feel mushy at all. You know, it's pretty easy to tell. But the way that I choose when I pick chili peppers, and I don't buy them often, honestly, but when I do, I know smaller is always hotter, and you don't want anything that is discolored. And you don't want anything that's wrinkled, because that means that it's been sitting around for a very long time. Another is asking me, let me get back to the text line here, about blueberries, strawberries, raspberries. These are all three of these are mostly, you know, strictly by appearance. Give them they'll probably be wrapped in cellophane or in some kind of plastic container, so they can be difficult to sniff. But if you can give them a sniff without actually sticking your nose in the fruit, you know, give them a sniff, and whatever the flavor, blueberry, strawberry, or raspberry should be predominant. The raspberries are the most fragile of them all, so those should be firm in texture. And, you know, if they look fresh, they are. I mean, that's the bottom line with that. Same with the strawberries, which are also kind of fragile. Look for discoloration in them. Look for, occasionally there's a rotten one in there that can spread very quickly. So, you know, just look for as red as possible, and you'll be okay. Blueberries, same thing. Those also you can pretty much pick by appearance. Now, I caution you with all berries. The number one thing that I look for with all the berries is organic. I'm not super crazy about buying everything organic, because I don't think everything needs to be organic, but the berries absorb whatever chemicals are put on them. They actually absorb into the fruit. So if you're going to buy organic anything, if you're going to spend the extra money for anything organic, definitely make sure it's the berries. Those are the ones that get the most absorption from any chemicals that are used during the growing and processing and, you know, spraying them for pesticides and, you know, all that sort of thing. Organic, definitely worth the money when it comes to fresh produce. If because we only have a bite-sized version of the show here today, if you've got other questions about picking fruits or vegetables, whatever, please feel free to send them in to me, Dean Richards at WGNRadio.com.